Blog Talk Radio.
There is a candle in every soul, some brightly burning, some dark and cold. There is a spirit who brings a fire, ignites a candle, and makes his home. Carry your candle, run to the darkness, seek out the helpless, confused and torn. Hold out your candle for all to see it. Take your candle, go light your world.
Yeah, good evening. Welcome to the Cricket Show, the voice of Fiol Thorn or Fiol Knight. Just want to welcome each and every one of you who are on. Mertris, you're on. Audley, you're on. Donna, you're on. Dennis, you're on. And all the way from London, England, Hyacinth. Hyacinth, you're on. Good evening to all of you. Welcome to the Cricket Show. We are going to be live and running and kicking in a few. But listen to this song in its entirety, because it's sung by my niece, the cousin of Hyacinth. Yes, indeed. Go like your word, like Fiol Thorn. Fiol Knight, as she goes by these days. Oh, dear niece. And just want to say hello to my dear cousin over there in London, England. And I'm sure she have never heard this voice before, but it's her cousin as well. Good evening to you, Isis. And you are here? Not hearing you, but you are very much like. Okay, good evening to you, Audley.
Good evening, Mr. Francis. Good evening to my fellow family. And it's a wonderful, wonderful evening in my neck of the woods. A beautiful Sunday evening. And looking forward to us having a wonderful, wonderful show.
Indeed. Thank you so much to be on early. And I want to say good evening to Dennis in another part of the world. Dennis? Good evening to you, sir. Welcome back.
Good evening to you, Leon. Good afternoon to my fellow panelists, wherever you are. I know I've heard Mertis, Donna, Hyacinth, Audley. I'm out myself on the road today. I'm doing spouse duty. So I'm not in my studio where I can be comfortable. Bear with me if you hear shuffling of papers and a little noise, because I'm literally on the road. Back to you, Leon.
Thanks for you coming on. Good evening to you, Mertris.
Hi, good evening.
Bobsy.
Mother Bobs is doing okay, thank you. She sends her love. You're over there yelling.
Reciprocate that blessings and inquiry.
Yes.
We appreciate very much, especially when we hear our name being called. I'm calling Hyacinth, but she must be on mute because we're not hearing her at all. But if you are, yes, okay. Well, let us begin with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this evening. We thank you for your presence with us this evening, by you allowing us to present yet another show. We're grateful for all that you have done for us in the past 12 years. And soon to be 13. Lord, we are grateful for the ones who made it possible by their giving us their help financially and otherwise. We are also grateful for those who helping us morally. We are also grateful for the ones who just come on each and every week and just participate and help us make it possible to hear our views about the sport we love. We thank you for everything you've done for us, and we are asking you to continue your blessing and healing touches on some of our dear friends, namely Dr. Leroy Lashley and his dear daughter Lisa, Bubsy and Murchis Nisbet, Connie Whitley, Ellie Matt, Everett Carter, Oliver Solomon, El Camino Willett, Alston Otto, Wentworth and Telbert Francis, Dennis Kelman, Joseph Guntrap, Willis and Mona Daniel, Fillmore Hallback, Earl Stevens, Jeanette Hughes, Dr. Roger Brown and Virgil Francis, son, and of course our panelists, Mr. Linford McKenzie. We thank all of the folks who have not expressed their concerns, but we also want to pray for them as well and just ask God's presence in their body, in their recovery. Thank you for my dear sister today. I saw her for a brief moment, and she was looking down, but she's not out yet. We just ask you, Lord, to just touch her body, heal her, bring her back to her normal self so that she can continue to do the work you put her here to do. We're grateful for all that is done to help us in any way. We will be, of course, listening, hearing from all the panelists this evening, and ask that you just touch each one and hope that they will be in a position to contribute and make a meaningful contribution to our show this evening. All these we ask in your name, we pray. Amen. I think this might be Ivor, who is on. His hands aren't up. Might be on the field doing some umpiring, but we just want to say hi to you, Ivor. If you're on, you're open. The mic is open, loud for you, so you can make your entrance.
Yes, Liam. Good evening. Good evening, everyone. Good evening. Good evening. Hello.
Hey, Mr. Ivor.
Yes, I'm here, Liam. Yeah, I'll be here for 3 hours, so I'm good to go.
Oh, okay. All right. I'm grateful for your presence as well. Dennis is also on, but he's mobile. Okay, so let's begin the show this evening with some good news and some not-so-good news, because two T20 matches were played between the West Indies and South Africa. West Indies winning the first by, in a shortened version, they made 132, having required to make 131 from 11 overs. West Indies were able to knock it off. In the second encounter, it was a record-breaking match, because West Indies scored some 200. Am I mixed up here today? West Indies won, not won, West Indies hope they won. South Africa chased down a record-breaking score. And as a result of that, they have put themselves in a position, West Indies, to either lose or win the next encounter. West Indies score 258 for 5 in their allotted 20 overs. South Africa replied with 259 for 4. It was indeed a mammoth total to set.
Run fast.
20 match. 258 for 5 and 259 for 4. With Johnson Charles hitting a massive 118 from 46 deliveries, 10 fours and 11 sixes, and the cup, he replied with a also sizzling 100 from 44 deliveries, raised 9 fours and 8 sixes. We'll tell you more about that as we go along with the show. Over in India, the women's LMW Women's Premier League came to an end today with the DC Chargers, Warriors. They came up against the Mumbai Indians, ladies. I said the DC, Delhi Capitals women's versus the Mumbai Indians women. The scores, DC scored 131 for 9 and the Mumbai Indians 134 for 3, giving them the title in the very first encounter of this kind in India. And it was a good day for the West Indian, the lone West Indian in the tournament. Hayley Matthews. She won a couple of awards, including the player of the series. Australia versus India. And this was the scores for this match. Australia 269. India all over 248. I missed the second encounter today. So in the meantime, someone can pull that up for me if they have it at hand. Or they might be able to do that. Or Dennis. New Zealand versus Sri Lanka. And the first encounter there, New Zealand winning there by 198 runs. Imagine, 198 runs in a T20 or ODI match, with New Zealand scoring 274 and 49.3 overs. Sri Lanka all out for 76 in 19.5 overs. Pakistan, they were dismissed for 92 by Afghanistan, 92-9 in 20 overs. Someone probably got some sick. Afghanistan replied with 98-4 in the 18th over. The Netherlands are up against Zimbabwe. Netherlands scored 231-9. Zimbabwe 235-3. And that was a win there for Zimbabwe by 7 wickets. Let's pause for calls. Let's see if we have Audley with us. Audley, are you with us?
Yeah. Oh. There's no matches played today between Australia and
yes.
You're supposed to have a match between Australia and India.
Yeah, yes.
No matches played today.
I just tell you if the match was played or is it tomorrow. I was hoping I have everything. I'll tell you the truth, but I did not have anything else for that at this point. So we can look and see a little later on. Bangladesh against Ireland. And that was played. Ireland scored 101 from 28 overs. Bangladesh 102 in 13.1 overs. Obviously, is a DL encounter. And the Women's Premier League, we talked to you about that a little earlier on. The Netherlands, they're playing Zimbabwe. Netherlands scored 231-9 from their 50 overs. Zimbabwe, they scored 235-3 in 41.4 overs. And we, time permitting, we have a letter from Ricky Skerritt, the outgoing president of the West Indies Cricket Board. And just want to say that I made contact today with Mr. Shallow to wish him well as he pursues the leadership role in the West Indies Cricket Board, and he was so thankful, and he promised that he would be on with us as soon as he settles down and gets things going. He will be glad to give us an interview again, which we thoroughly enjoyed the last time. Hopefully, we wish the young man well. Of course, most of you have known what happened, Mr. Billy Haven. He has withdrawn from the contest, so it was a no contest. He was just a shoo-in. Of course, the president of Trinidad and Tobago is also unopposed. So let's hope that we can have some unity in the West Indies and winning on the field and off the field would be what we're looking forward to. You got some scores over.
Leon, did you mention the second match between Pakistan and Afghanistan?
No.
Afghanistan won the second one also. So Afghanistan also beat Pakistan in the second one. Yeah.
Indeed, so the matches
there
are going so.
Yeah.
So many matches are playing each day that unless you don't catch them. But let's talk a little bit about the West Indies four-day championship, because Trinidad and Tobago, they went down by some 7 wickets to Barbados. Trinidad and Tobago won 203 and 185. Barbados, they were 271 and 118-3. Barbados winning there by some 7 wickets. And the Leewards, my goodness, they really, really got shattered. They were beaten by 6 wickets by the Windwards. Let me see where the scores are for that. I had them all here together, but then you have a lot of things to do just like that. So the Leewards went down by some 6 wickets to the Windwards. High scoring match, I'll tell you. Leewards 382, and they were dismissed for 9, and they were dismissed for 144 in the second innings. The Windward Islands, they made 353 for all out, but they had all out, but they batted. They only lost 9 wickets because one guy could not bat. He had a concussion and had to not to resume his innings. And in the second innings, they were 174 for 4, which meant that they were winning there by some 6 wickets. Dennis, do you want to come in with the others? I think you may have some report for me.
Are we referring to the four-day championship, Leon?
Yeah, anything else that you have that I missed? I think the USA played and lost today as well. Don't know if you had it.
No, no, the USA played. They did not lose. They were victorious. I will just grab my paper here. Yeah, the USA is participating in the ICC World Cup qualifier playoff in Namibia. There are 6 teams participating: USA, UAE, Papua New Guinea, Canada, Jersey, and Namibia were the hosts. And the whole series is scheduled between March 26th and April the 5th. It's sort of a round-robin format, and the top 2 teams here in this to the ICC will go to the ICC World Cup qualifier in June and July. Of course, the World Cup qualifier due June 18th to 19th in Zimbabwe is the host. And the bottom 4 teams in the Cricket World Cup League 2 and the top 2 teams from the Challenge League will go on to playoff for the final spot in the Cricket World Cup due in October. Now, in this match yesterday, earlier today rather, Namibia played against the United States, and the United States did very well. The scores were USA 231 for 9, Gajanan Singh scoring 53. Kenjigi scored 43. Jones, 36. Jesse Singh, 33. And Namibia, in reply, were 151 all out. And we had good performance bowling-wise from Ali Khan, 3 for 21. Nisarg Patel, 3 for 29. Jesse Singh, 2 for 33. The USA went on to win that one by 80 runs, Leon. And they will take on, and their next match will be on the 29th of March, where they will play against our neighbors, Canada. Tomorrow's match will be between Jersey and Canada. That is the report for the ICC World qualifier that the United States is currently involved with.
Okay.
We have some outstanding performance in the four-day championship that is worthy of note, Leon.
Okay.
There were several century makers. Guyana, we had L. Johnson scoring 150. And we had in Guyana second innings, we had another centurion, Imlach. He scored 136 not out, and Chanderpaul actually getting back amongst the runs with 89. On the Leeward Island, Windward Island side, we had a 93 by Karima Gore, And Windward Island, Hodge scored 137. And Athanase, what a player this young man is, you know, demonstrating a lot of talent and efficiency. He scored 128 in that same match, Windward Island innings, against the Leeward Islands. Further down, we have a McCaskey for Barbados, who scored 92 in Barbados' first innings. And going further, I think that is the highlight, basically, for that in the four-day championship, in which we can see that Guyana, Windward Island, and Barbados have actually solidified their position with victories in that match. In the
go ahead.
In the West Indies ODI match against South Africa, excellent performance there from our batters in the third ODI, where the West Indies won 260. South Africa won that one, and then in the 11 overs rearranged match yesterday, fireworks, plenty of fireworks, where we had some good innings. But disappointment for the West Indies in the second T20 this morning, where the batters performed well, as Leon pointed out, with Charles on 18. But I think the West Indies was let down by the bowling of their, you know, of their team. They could not contain the South Africans, who romped away with it by 6 wickets.
Yes.
Finally, we have the women's playoff before eliminator. Before we get to the final today, yesterday's eliminator was certainly something to behold. It was really an exciting match, with Natsaiva scoring 72 for the Mumbai Indians, who defeated the Warriors by 72 runs to move to the final today, where they took on the Delhi Capitals. And of course, they are in such fine form. They continued with Saiva again leading the batting charge. Delhi Capitals started off in a really rocky format, but managed to capitalize a little bit and pull back to score 131 for 9. But Natsaiva, Harmanpreet, and our Hayley Matthews did very well. Mumbai Indians deserve to win the championship, and it was amazing, and it was very reassuring to see that that stadium was quite packed to the gills, with spectators enjoying this women's final. And if this first final is anything to go by, we could book our dates for next season, because we know that we're due for some brilliance in the next performance of the women's IPL. Leon, that's all I have for you.
Good evening, and welcome to The Cricket Show, broadcasting around the world every Sunday from 6 to 9 p.m. blogtalkradio.com/thecricketshow, or fast bowl us an email with your questions and comments to thecricketshow@comcast.net. And now...
Now, let's hear from Audley. We're waiting for Jatin, so why don't you come on in with the inside edge?
Okay, because I was thought that you caught me napping.
Go ahead.
Let me pull it up, please, because I was not ready.
As you were saying, Dennis. Okay, go ahead, and then.
While Audley's doing that, Leon, why don't I just give our listeners a thought that, you know, very current, something that I think that they can. Think about, just something for them to think about. We had reported very recently, Leon, the announcement of the ICC quarterly meeting, And this is a report by Samuddin and Lavellet in the Cricket Info, and it pertains to Afghanistan membership. The ICC Working Group on Afghanistan will present an update to the ICC board. Imran Khwaja, the ICC Deputy Chair and head of the Working Group, has met with officials from the Afghan Cricket Board and Taliban in Doha twice since November. There is claim that the government, that is the Taliban, has not interfered in cricket affairs, but acknowledge that women's cricket, while the Taliban are in power, is near impossible. King Group will argue that the issue of women's cricket is beyond the control of the Afghanistan Cricket Board. And so the board, listen, the board should not be punished. Now, Liam, this runs in the face of the February 8th announcement, February 8th, 2023. ICC released a statement in which they said, in conjunction with UNICEF, United Nations Group, they call the ICC call for gender equity on the eve of Women's T20 World Cup. The ICC and UNICEF have joined hands to promote gender equity, tolerance, and inclusion through cricket to drive positive social change and to encourage girls and women to play and be empowered by cricket. So in the light of this meeting where the working group is saying they will recommend that the board, the gun board should not be punished, what they're saying is we won't accept punishment of the men because the women are not playing. Now, I am imploring all ICC members, associates, and friends to contact the ICC administrators and tell them that we will not accept the double standard. Neither will we accept the blatant and shameful acceptance of the stated and practiced treatment as second-class citizens and chattels, the treatment by the Afghan Taliban government, the disgraceful discrimination against women and girls. I implore all who are listening and hearing to make their voice known, make it known that all cricket members of the ICC is required to promote and have women's cricket going on in the country. We should not give the Taliban and Afghanistan a pass. If they will not allow the women to play, then the men should not be playing either. And I really strongly feel and encourage all my listeners and fellow panelists to take this into account. Contact the ICC, contact all member boards around the world. Tell them it is time that the Taliban and the Afghanistan men go their separate ways unless the women are actively playing. Thank you, Leon. That's my anger for today.
Yes, indeed.
Back to you.
Well, this has left us.
I'm ready.
Also,
okay.
And we have Audley. He's going to give us the inside
edge. I'm ready with the inside edge. I'm ready with inside edge.
Yeah, just let me explain. We are going to recommence the Coach's Corner. And after Audley finishes his inside edge, we'll just bring JT in, who is waiting here to be on. Audley, inside edge.
So, and I think we should just tell the listeners that inside edge so forth will be going back to 7 o'clock instead of 6:30. So as of this evening,
5 to 7,
it's got right. It's going to be in that area again, 7 for the birthdays and what kind of birthdays and anniversary.
Yes, thank you so much for that reminder.
Okay, so have you ever wondered about a batsman that make a double century in one day in Test cricket, and especially batting at number 5, why coming down at number 5? Well, there's one such cricketer that did that 2012-2013. He's from Australia. His name is Michael Clark. Yeah, he's the only player to have scored a double century, batting at number five. When he came in, his side was 21-3 in the seventh over. And he batted throughout the day and ended on 224 not out, batting at number five. And that was the first day of the test match. No other cricketer has done that. The nearest is from Brandon McCallum, came in at number five, and he did make 195 on the first day. But the only one to make a double century, coming in at number five, Australia's former captain, is Captain Clark, yeah, Michael Clark. 224 not out, batting at number five. But the next day he was out after he added another six, he was out for 230. But 224 not out on the first day, batting at number five. That's it. Inside it for the day.
Indeed, indeed. Thank you so much, Audley. And as of next week, God's willing, Audley will be coming in at 6:55, and then the Walter Henry birthday hour starts at 7, so that we can get a little to reintroduce the Coach's Corner. And we're going to bring Jatin right in to present his first one for a long time. Jatin, the floor is yours.
Yes. Good evening for everyone, and
thanks for
having this opportunity. And just for the viewers, we decided to revamp the original Coach's Corner. We started about almost 6 years back in 2017 when I joined. It was there for a while. Then we have a lot of agendas to cover during our show, so it was unfortunate to toss that idea, but the way the movement is going on and the way the momentum we have at the moment, especially for America's and changes West Indies. By the way, first of all, I like to send a congratulatory note to the Dr. Salo today, being as a new president for Cricket West Indies, and Basarat also elected as a vice president. So whatever it is, it's very hard to say, but at the moment, we need to enjoy the change, and we are expecting some more changes from this administration, which is more common at all levels. Going back in the biggest thing today was the Women IPL final. It was Mumbai Indian. Again, they clinched that inaugural and the maiden trump by beating the Delhi, and it was a class show today, if you look at it.
Mm-hmm.
Match went to all the way to the last over, and I will say, world is changing. A lot of things is happening. So before going into the detail about the game, we had a good discussion today between me, Leon, and Denise, and also our counterpart at Cricket Hall of Fame with Mr. Michael Chambers. And now we have decided to go for this new title. We call it Cricket Hall of Fame's Coach's Corner, which will be running 6:15 to 7. Our idea is to educate Americas and provide needed help as well as the information. And the new idea is definitely, besides myself, maybe a primary source for the coaching thing, but we will bring time to time Cricket Hall of Famers, legend coaches, and also the international players to be part of this segment. And that will also open up the opportunity to bring the guest. If somebody is want to learn the cricket, if somebody is playing cricket, somebody is involved in a coaching or administration, or someone is just parents and has a question or concern about this game, we will welcome all questions. Our show will be more focused on question and answers, and that is a way to help them. It does not matter from where they are calling, in what situation they are at, or what environment they are at, or what level of cricket they are, but our job is to help them. So that is what's happening, and we will be officially rolling out this program from 15 April. Because there is a little bit work needed here. We need to have the format to be going on. But we realize that this is the important segment we can offer to it. And the time to time, we can provide some insight as a coaching. What are the key things they need beyond just how to bat and ball? Everybody is doing it, but there's a lot of other things needed. And the way the game is making progress, including the Major League is coming in U.S. now, there is too many things happening in U.S. cricket. On that topic today, USA beat the Namibia in a qualifier today. And that is also one good note. No doubt, talking on qualifier, this is the two-stage qualifier. Let me repeat. It's a two-stage qualifier. And at the moment, only 7 countries are automatically qualified for the next World Cup, which is India, New Zealand, Australia, England, Pakistan, kind of thing. But there is a 4 teams at the moment are looking for that final automatic spot, actually 5 teams. That includes the West Indies, Sri Lanka, South Africa, and the 2 associate teams like Afghanistan and I believe Ireland. So combining that, there is a 1 spot wide open automatic qualifier. After this ongoing series in South Africa with the West Indies, the 1 team will be decided. Before today's game, West Indies was at the top as a possible team to qualify. But I will say we need to finish this series and there is some games left for the other countries. And that will decide who can be the 8th team can go as automatically qualified full. And after that, what are the 3 or 4 teams remain in this qualification who missed out the automatic qualifier has to compete with another 2 or 4 teams coming from current qualifier, which is the stay, I would say, second phase of the qualifier. So once they finish this in Namibia series, which will be done by, I believe, April 5th or so, I think some of the teams from there will be competing against those 4 who did not make automatic qualification. So if you count it, there were total 32 teams 3 years back, 10 already out. The remaining are still fighting. So now we are down to, I believe, 9 or 10, and then 4 can go in. So that's kind of short thing. But just want to give you a heads up, the current qualifier is not the final qualifier. We still have 1 more to do in the June. That will decide which are the top 12 teams we're going to face next World Cup. So that thing is going on. And this also going to happen to be in our coach's corner as a general information about how to understand these formats, how to understand this tournament setup, how the game procedures are handled, or how these team qualification and the game policies are in place, because we are changing a lot of things time to time, and it's unfortunate. Most of the people out there don't know. They're only getting their word when they watch the TV, and that is what we started. The another thing, the plus side of the show will be, it does not matter who or how many coaches you have at the local level. This will open up the opportunity for anyone to come out our platform. And we may have more than 1 coaches on time to time, depends on situation. So the opportunity does exist. We are giving them the chance, which they don't have right now. And believe it or not, we are, I think, second one to do it in this situation. India did it in their language, but when it comes to the English, we are the first one to do so. And this will definitely increase our reach out and the fan base beyond the USA. Absolutely, we will give the priority to Americas, and when it's America, West Indies is the high priority. Number 2 will be the US, but we don't want to spare or sideline Canada, Bermuda, Bahamas. We have plenty of other associate countries, and they are going through the same challenges. Don't have enough information, don't have enough resources, do not have any tools to get educated or get information, and we are up for to provide that platform. So that will happen, and time to time when we don't have the question from the guest, we will have a particular topic. Like in the past, we have covered like how we can judge the good player, how we can play against the spin, those sort of things. So we will have plan one is open for everybody without any agenda. And the plan two, when we don't have the guest to bring the question or concern, we will pick up the particular topic and we will stay with it during the coach's corner to interact and discuss as much as possible to cover all sort of information. So hopefully that's a good beginning. The news will be coming up. Will not supposed to surprise anyone. It is just a little bit of modification we do, but we are still stick with our principle and core vision to just educate Americas and help the people to keep this game alive. So that's all I have, Leon, and then
yes,
I'll
indeed.
Be probably back by 7:30, unless somebody has a question. I still have like 10, 15 minutes to respond at this time.
Anybody? Let's say hello to Hyacinth over there in London, England. We're trying to get her, but she was not respond.
Can't you hear? You can't hear me?
Yes. No, we can hear you. Good evening.
Okay, yeah.
Glad to hear you. Are you hearing us loud and clear?
Yes. Yeah, I'm hearing you loud and clear.
Hi to you, all the folks here. Wish you well. And hope all is well with you and your neck of the
woods. Likewise, yes. I'm fine. I'm good. Yes, I'm good. I'm saying wish you all well.
Okay, good. Just stay tight. We have a real tight show for line up for us, and we have all the panelists here. We miss Virgil. He is not in. No, we have just missed Mertrice. But let's hear from Donna. Good evening to you, Donna. Can you say hello to all the folks around? And we also have Ivor. Donna, you're in.
Hello.
Yes, okay.
Donna.
Okay, so can you repeat?
I said hello, good afternoon to all of the panelists.
Oh, okay, good. I'm sure you're not happy about that big defeat that the Leewards got beaten up. Was it weekend in St. Kitts like it is was in Antigua?
I don't know.
Okay, so Dennis?
I don't get anything about them. ESPN doesn't bring them live. So I only go back to check to see what was the result.
Oh, unlike me. Okay. Yes. Okay, we have a couple of minutes left before we... know if everything is okay with Merchis because she dropped off. I don't know if she's not... she's okay, and we're not able to get Virgil. He probably is in Antigua, so we'll try and get him again a little later on. As you were saying, Audley, you had anything in mind before we go into your...
Coaches asking about what I want to ask. It has nothing to do with the U.S. cricket, but what's happening with the promotion of Jadeja and the motion in some of the... The contract, when it comes to the Indian cricketers and the contract. I don't know if you want to talk about it.
Jason, you know about the contracts. They have made some promotion to the Jadeja. That's my man, anyway. I tell you,
He has joined like Kohli, Fastball, Bumrah, and the captain. I think they are four. They have the A plus, and then you're gonna have the B, C's, and so forth. And some have even dropped off completely, like Rahani and Saha. They aren't given any contract and so forth. I don't know if he read the whole thing about and can talk about it.
Yes, indeed. Jason, any news on the? Can you bring us up to date with that?
Yeah, this contract is, if you look at the term, called a performance contract. This is not a appointment or kind of engagement contract. It means you have to be part of the team and usually you get paid based on your performance. That is how. And in that one, there is always option. I know the India side, their contract does not mean guaranteed for a term. It has some options where they can make the amendment. And those, most of the amendments is a very critical. It benefits both sides. The one side is the player. If they are doing really well, the contract can be revised and you can get next level money, which is more money. And if you go down or if you are not able to perform as expected or something, then you may lose the contract. And at the same time, the board has a flexibility to change that contracted players. If they feel they need to replace, if they will need to add some more, if they need, the, some of them need to be rejected, discarded, or just discontinue, those all options are there. So it's not a surprise. And with the India's situation where you have pool of players, plenty of them outside, there is a tough competition. Who can be in a Group A, Group B, or Level C contract? Because everyone, if you look at it, has a good numbers. They have the good performance. They are all capable to do it. But I believe they are looking at the outcome. If somebody is contributing to the game, what is the impact they are bringing to the game? And those are the people getting those contract situations. And it's not about name or what they have done so far. They don't believe in that. They only care about what you have done recently, how much capable you are to today, and what is your potential for next 2 years. And that is how they look for the contract. It is like very competitive environment in terms of the cricket. You got 1.4 billion people and only one can make it. So it's a very huge competition. And because of that, whenever this contract situation comes and talks comes, there is always more disappointment than the people can happy about it. On the U.S. side, on the U.S. side, we have so many things happening, going on. But I will say, keep the finger crossed. Let's see what happens and unfolds it. What I can say, in my opinion, looks like Major League Cricket draft went by, means they completed, and I don't see any USA Cricket board members or officials there, or even their logos there, and not even a name there. So I have no clue how that can happen or how it's going on, but it's from what we read on the social media and some media release from USA Cricket, as well as that letter sent out via email by the interim chair, Atul Rai, all I can see that there is something need to be sorted out between ACE and board, and that is ongoing, and it is not something can stay behind the door. ICC now has came out and also put a information. I believe it was immediately after that draft, ICC has sent out a note to all members. This is what we read in that article, the media release. Like, ICC is recommending all members not to offer the NOC to those players who are competing in MLC. That does not mean MLC will not happen. That does not mean that USA Cricket and MLC will never agree. But what this looks to me, that the people at the top need to sit down on the table and iron out the wrinkles, I call it, and build a bridge, come out to the common platform, and put the game first, and let that is happen. We have the momentum. We have the huge fan base in U.S., and everyone is eyeing on USA Cricket. And these are the distractions, I call it. Let's hope it can stay short time only, and we can have better future ahead, because we can see that IPL has shown interest in almost four teams, and that is the good thing, because these are the own franchises who has uplifted cricket world in terms of the money and giving the portion of their reward to the players based on the performance, and that can happen in US too. So let's keep on it, and I see as of yesterday, they have started election. There's only one position open between the five candidates, something. I'm not the voter, so I'm not sure what it is, and I'm not going to endorse anybody because they already have the existing, and this is the, by the way, election from 2021, and this particular board has a tradition about these term limits. Nobody knows what is the expired term and when they're supposed to discontinue working. Whoever goes there wants to stick around until next election. And what it means, there's a lot of people in the past, even today, or maybe in tomorrow, if they don't change that protocol or constitution part, the people will carry on, stick with it until they have the election, which supposed not to be. It need to be timely election, in my opinion, and opportunities to give on everyone. And this election is not going without controversies. They already have, I believe, the filed lawsuit against them because some of the candidates have been disqualified or did not make it for whatever reason is. And even though I have no clue what is the end result or outcome of that situation, but let's hope they can iron out these wrinkles. These are the little things hurting them. We have a very good professional board, I will say, and this ICC always back up their members. Means these people have to step up and do the professional business. That's all it takes. The core pillars is always there. Bring the transparency. Make sure you have the clear accountability. If you can stop this biased business and stay away from unfair policies, then any organization or team can do better. And let's hope they can go for it.
Well, what is happening then, Jatin, with the Afghanistan and it's Bangladesh? Or is Bangladesh in Sri Lanka? Are they going to be banned from the
No, Bangladesh is Sri Lanka. Bangladesh and Sri Lanka. I send you the clip because what happening here, I believe this is the, it's my opinion, let me say. It's like what I look at it is this year some players are drafted. They picked by the IPL team. And I believe some of the guys are now saying, we're not going to play a full season. I'm going to walk away for half season, or I'll be coming after the half season, something like that. So in this situation, again, it's my opinion, a lot of franchise has to work hard to get the replacement. So now what they are trying to say, it is not a decision yet, if you read it. But IPL is considering from 2024 auction about Bangladesh and Sri Lanka. It clearly says they are not trying to ban the player, but they are asking this board, if your player is not allowed for a full season, which is the IPL, 6 weeks, then they don't want those players.
Okay, well, that sounds strange, though, but
I don't agree, Leon. How you can say strange? If I have work done in my house, if I have somebody to have 6 months and I'm paying my money what they want, and after I agreed and it says, you know what,
I only agreed.
Work 4 weeks.
They agreed and then withdraw.
Right?
Okay, if they agree and then do that, yes, okay.
Not only that, let me tell you in the latest Women IPL incident too, again, this is my opinion, the way I look at it. Some players did not make it or some people did not go through. I hear there is a special demand or maybe something special compared to what other people. I can say they build the six teams. Every team has a number of players agreed and they all played the entire IPL and how. Handful, you can hand count, less than five players missed out this IPL. There's a something in a communication, I will say. We don't know. There is always two-side story, but unfortunately, we are only reading one-side story and some rumors. So it's very hard to believe, but I can say if 60 people are right and two says wrong, I will go with the 60.
Okay. I don't know if either you have anything to ask Jatin before he goes. Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Anyway, just like to give you, let's get to like, to give you this thought again as a, our normal living life. We have to live on three things called a family. So I'm with the family right now. Second thing is friends.
Okay.
I have it on radio. And the third component is called a faith. So I'm going temple for next 15 minutes. But I'll definitely catch you back around 7:30. Okay?
Okay, okay. We'll do. We'll do.
Thank you.
Anybody has anything? Dennis?
Just for information,
Leon,
I think Virgil will have to get him on the Eagle Line. He did inform me he's going to head to the thing. Murchis says she's on Donald's line, so you might have to get Murchis over there. She got dropped and she couldn't get back in. So
okay, good.
She's taking a ride.
All right.
I was going to ask Jason a blessing, but anyway, he's gone now because this is with that IPL, they have some stipulation on the Indian cricketers. But I read something there where Sharma was saying it's going to be difficult when you're asking their players to limit their performance in the IPL when, according to him, my interpretation, IPL rules the rules for them. So they want to give it their all in the IPL. But the Indian cricket board is asking them to pace themselves out, just like the other countries are asking their players to participate in a limited way in terms of being rested or reserved for the country. So I'm not too sure where Jason did that, but I can tell you right now, this is my prediction and my opinion. A lot of these guys have been made millionaires, and now they're going to strike a hard bargain with India, unless India now goes to some new players out there. But see, some of these guys who have already made it, they're going to not want to participate in the IPL, whether full or they will just turn to their country, because the pocket has been full now. The bank account is full. So India have to be realized. The IPL is going to have to realize they cannot strike a hard bargain with the old guys, because they're already made. They're already been made. That's where they need to understand their hold fast to their country, know that their pocket is full.
All right.
Now,
Leon,
the other thing about that also, Ivo, is that there are so many other leagues that have started up since the IPL. So if they miss the IPL, there are myriads of other leagues to play in, and I think they'll be clamoring to get those top players to play in the league
and
as well.
That's what I say. Just to make sure they stay in tune with cricket, they would leave that money, because remember Chris Gayle did that to the West Indies. When the Pakistan got pulled, they turned down a $100,000 contract with the West Indies.
Let's
get in Dennis before the hour comes up. Dennis, you may want to join in the conversation as well. Dennis?
Yes, I you know, somewhat disagree with Ivor on that point because I think only because
can go ahead,
I feel like...
You can speak while I try to bring in Virgil. Go ahead.
Yeah. The point that I was making is, you know, although there is some logic to it, I'm not sure that I agree entirely, simply because these guys move, or what the decisions they make because it's financially to their advantage. And I don't see them trying to turn down the type of incentive, the type of rewards, that compensation that they would get from the IPL. So I suspect strongly that they will, in fact, move towards the requirements of the BCCI or the IPL group. And
okay,
the other...
Let's finish out this one. I know beg to differ with you, and you didn't understand what I said. Those who have already been made, they're going to hold fast to the Australia. Australia did it before. I remember with Shane Watson. You only play limited, you would not bowl.
Right.
And they comply with the Australia's request. So we're going to loan them to you, but when we want them over here, Sri Lanka's had to go home to Sri Lanka. So forget about all this lot of money. But I already said, these guys have already been made. And all these strengthen my point by saying, if they just want to knock up and to stay in tune with cricket, they've just gone over to the Sun League or the Bangladesh League to make sure they get some cricket. bank account already been filled, so they cannot hold a hard bargain with the guys them who been there before. You don't think some folks them don't always want to play? Archer them don't always want to play? They're going to take the time over here, reserve themselves for the country. They might get some newcomers who are going to leave the Windward Islands and run on over to the IPL. Because, yes, they don't want to get their bank account up to speed. But the old guys, them, they cannot strike a hard bargain with them. They're going to be loyal to the country. That's my opinion.
Yeah, okay. But I'm saying, Leon, I'm not Leon either, is that right. Because they've made it, and they've made it so well, they've been so richly rewarded, the type of reward that they'd be giving up with the IPL, you know, I think would be a little bit too much for them to stomach, and I think they will.
They can't turn the baps on the Australia. West Indies has done it. Bravo and those guys did it in the past. Those are the countries, they are not going to do it. I would bet you my bottom last dollar.
We wait and see who wins. Because a lot of leagues are out, and of course, the monies are going to be there to attract them too. So it's a two-way story.
India already, Glenn, you didn't read it? We're India already telling their players they have to be limited in the IPL. They're already telling that. The Indian, the BCCI, telling the IPL, their players are going to be limited. So if they can do it, why you think Australia is not going to do it?
Yeah. Okay.
You know, there's one illustrative point here, Leon. I know Coach Dayton mentioned the MLC. It's interesting to note that there's a report in Crick Info that Norgea has pulled out of the English 100 tournament draft since his contract in the U.S. Major League is worth more pro rata than the most lucrative 125,000 deals on offer in the 100. So my point being, these guys will always go after the money if and when they can exercise their right to do so.
That's young guys. Career. I just said that. Those who want to get up to speed, they will do that.
Okay.
Stokes is not going to play for England. I'm telling you right now. Stephen Smith is going to go and play for Australia when he's required to do that. Their pocketbook is overflowing. So you're not going to get those guys. The young guy, no. Or they would give up his job now to go and get $1 billion to coach a team. In India, as much as you love his job, right?
Send me the team right away.
Oh, okay, then.
You're going to find a way to win.
Anyway, I think I heard the music in the background. So,
yes,
Leon,
the music in the background, guys, and you know the time, what that means? The Walter Henry birthday and anniversary. Folks, build us.
How men who died for good. Could not have a day that would. He said, a sideburns recognition. Because it should never be. Just because some cannot be. But dream is liberty.
Come on in.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, with the sound of Stevie Wonder in the background, you know, it's time for the Walter Henry birthday and anniversary hour. Yes, it's the time of the evening when we take a look in the cricket and fraternity and we say happy birthday, happy anniversary, and so forth, so forth. And it's time when you can call in also. It's 515-605-9850. 515-605-9850. And as of this evening, we have resorted to the 7 o'clock Walter Henry birthday and anniversary hour. So if you're just coming in, you have not missed the Walter Henry birthday and anniversary. It's once again at 7 o'clock as of this evening. All right. So and as we go along, we'll have some occasional footnotes as we go. Today being the 26th of March. Wow. March just marched itself out of here. Just a couple days to go. So birthdays outside of cricket, we have Diana Ross. Today, she turns 79. You remember Diana Ross? Yep. And from the Caribbean, you know, Mr. Baran. Yeah, Baran out of TNT. Yeah, he's 75 today, Baran. And some actors like Vicky Lawrence, actress, she's 74. Martin Short, he's 72. And the first female speaker of the House of Representatives, Miss Nancy Pelosi. Yes, she is 83 years young today. Nancy Pelosi, 83 years young today. All right, so we go to cricket. From England, Bill Edridge, Graham Barlow, and Jack Mason. Australia, Ray Robinson, Ben Shearer, and Edwin Evans. From the Australia, we have Rudy Kotsian and William Henry Richards. I have to be in there more. William Henry Richards. we have from Zimbabwe, Gregory Stidham and Prosper Yusira. From Scotland, we have Keith Sheridan. From Pakistan, Masood Ahmed. From India, we have Jadeep Jadhav and Vikram Rathors, R-A-T-H-O-U-R. All right. And from New Zealand, we have Georgia Wareham. And from the Isle of Man, Fraser Clark. For the 27th, singer out of Jamaica, Derek Morgan, he will be 83. Bob Andy, yeah, he died at 27, 2020. Yeah, out of Jamaica also. Back to cricket, Xavier Marshall and Beverly Xavier Marshall from Jamaica. No, he represents the United States. And Beverly Brown, she's from out of Trinidad and Tobago, represent West Indies also. We have Imran Tahir from South Africa, George Giffen from Australia, Sana Javid from Pakistan, Carl Brickenstock from Namibia, George Hearn and Frank Smiles from England, Seth Burke and Chris Brown. Chris Brown is an umpire, Seth Burke cricketer from New Zealand. And we have Shandy Wickramasinghe from Sri Lanka, Gabby Lewis and Mark Adair from Ireland. And for the 28th, Leon's cousin Miguel Francis, athlete out of course,
Montserrat.
Leon, no, you from? Oh, yeah, he was born in Montserrat.
Yeah.
Okay, but he represents Antigua. Yeah, Antigua Barbuda.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, and we have back to cricket, Margaret Lockwood, Nasser Hussain, and Sarah Clark, female cricketer, all from England. And we have Ray Emery, Sarah McGlashan from New Zealand, Holly Umrigar, former captain of India, and T.A. Shekhar, former fast bowler from India. Lara Mullins and Sonia Rimsbottom from Ireland. Ashok De Silva from Sri Lanka. Afriq Ahmed, Atayu Rahman from Pakistan. And Whittall from Zimbabwe and Matt Renshaw from Australia. For the 29th, we have the brother of Mr. Heath. Dennis, his brother Stanley Heath Jr., will be celebrating on the 29th, and happy birthday to Stanley when it comes, and he's going to create a whole lot of heat in the place. West Indies, Leslie Hilton, to date, I think he is the only cricketer to have been hanged because he was found guilty of murdering his wife, and he was hanged. Leslie Hilton, played 5-6 test matches for the West Indies. Another Jamaican, Yutan Dow, yeah, he will be celebrating on the same day. And Mr. Moti, Kudadash Moti out of Guyana, he will be celebrating also on the 29th. Jeff Howard from New Zealand, Sam Lexon, Dan Nash and Michael Nesser from Australia, Tom Haywood from England. We have Judy Bell Sandham from India, Henk Jan Mol from the Netherlands, and we have Mr. Njidi Lugi Anjini Njidi from South Africa will be selling also on the 29th. For the 30th, the test debut of arguably the greatest all-rounder ever lived. So Garfield Sobers, he made his test debut against England in 1954, the 30th of March. And birthdays, Celine Dion turned 55 that day. The great painter Vincent van Gogh will be celebrating his birthdays on that day. He left us centuries ago. One who will remember is MC Hammer. He will turn 61. Guitarist and singer Eric Clapton, he'll be 78. And Tracy Chapman, she will be 59 years old. And finally, Pierce Brosnan, TV host. And, of course, we know Pierce Brosnan, he will be 58 years old. Back to cricket, Chuck Fleetwood Smith, Wally Grouse, Martin Love, Emma Fiddle, and Sarah Coit, all from Australia. Ryan Murray from Zimbabwe. Norman Gifford from England. Achan Akar from Singapore. Jack Gowey from New Zealand. Mohammed Harris from Pakistan. Mike Smith from Scotland. Antonio Searle from the Netherlands. David Thomas Drew, umpire from out of South Africa. And Desil Sung from South Korea. For the 21st of March, the first black heavyweight champion was born way back in 1878, Jack Johnson. And he won the heavyweight championship Boxing Day 1908. And he reigned for a long time. He lost the title 1915 to a giant man in Cuba, Havana, Cuba, Jess Willard. Fred Smith, Clement Johnson, Godfrey Lawrence, Hassim Amla, all from South Africa. We have Laurie Miller, Robert H. Vance, New Zealand, Ataf Gul, Pakistan, Paul Grayson, England, Adam Zampa from Australia. And finally, for the 1st of April, All Fool's Day, Jimmy Cliff, and believe me, he's no fool, he will be 75 years old. Jimmy Cliff, the harder they come. And for cricket, we have David Murray, Arne Sidebottom, David Gower, John Morris, Walter Mead, and Geoffrey Archer, all from England. Stephen Fleming and Sue Brown from New Zealand. And we have Atav Bulash Khan, female cricketer from Pakistan. Balwinder Singh Sr., Ajit Wadekar, and Viralim Vijay from India, and Reno Kant from South Africa. And this is what I have for you here, Leon, where cricket
okay.
comes
to
remember. This is
Donna. Let's bring in Donna. Donna, we haven't heard from you, and we just want to prompt Hyson to come in after Donna. Donna, you're on.
So this week, I just have one. I have an aunt. Pamela Ward, she's going to be celebrating on the 30th. She's the only one I have this week, celebrating
okay.
on the 30th.
Hyacinth, you want
okay.
to say hello to anyone? Yeah, thank you so much, Anna. Hyacinth, you want to say hello to anyone?
No, not really. I haven't got any birthdays.
How about anniversary? Wish anyone?
No.
Best wishes. They'd like to hear the name on the radio. You may have a cousin, a sister, or an uncle. Aunt or brother. Okay.
No,
How about you, Dennis? Thank you. Dennis, anything from you?
I have a brother of mine up there in Connecticut whose wedding anniversary is coming up on the 29th.
Yes,
so Brother
yes.
Stanley and Sister Caroline want to wish you both a very happy and healthy anniversary date. Have plenty of fun and congratulations on your nuptials. That's
right,
it for me this
Thank
time,
you.
Leon.
Yes, indeed. Thank you. Thank you so much. Ivor, your turn. You had a hidden uncle or cousin that Donna forgot.
No, he just Pamela is having that birthday, but you know me. This is the last show for the month on this cricket show, so we go back to all of March to really say happy birthday to all who would have celebrated during the month of March, and for those who would have lost loved ones along the way, we just want to remember them in our prayer as well. And out goes March, and in comes April, next week Sunday, so I think that's where I want to extend. Awful Day Saturday. So we have a lot of food on the show. Ben will tell us about that when we're closing on Saturday.
Right. But look who we found. Yeah. Look who we found. A guy all the way from Texas. Come on in. You know his name.
That's right. I miss you guys, man. I just want to join in and listen to the conversation. It has to be a very rich one, so let's continue the show. Thanks for the welcome.
No birthdays? No birthdays? No best wishes?
No, I don't have the birthday today.
Yeah, okay.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, okay, just hang tight while we go through the panel. I just wanted to just announce the 10-month anniversary of the passing of my dear wife on the 24th. So,
no.
10 months ago, yeah. The 24th.
Oh, sorry about that, man.
That went quickly.
Yes, indeed. Time flies, right? Audley?
Yeah,
it
did.
All yours.
Quickly.
Yes, Audley? All yours.
Yes. Okay, so I have just one of my neighbors. As a matter of fact, that's one of the families that my step grandfather. And that person's dad were two brothers, so he's in my second home. Her name is Connie Cuff. They were Jones, and now she's married to Mr. Cuff, of course. And she got cuffed almost 50 years ago. They've been married for almost 50 years ago. So when I spoke to her, you know, the last time we're talking about them, I said, "Girl, you are well cuffed," you know, but his name is Cuff. So she'll be celebrating a birthday on the 1st of this month, All Fool's Day. So, of course, I'll touch link with her, but I'm just saying it publicly. Happy birthday to you. We call her Sister Connie. Happy birthday to you, Sister Connie, and we wish you all the best. And do those continue, of course, and stay cuffed. All right. So if there's no more, I'll just go ahead and close out. So just want to give a shout out to all our listeners throughout the world, wherever you are. Always remember, we are here on Sundays from 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So each one tell one. Come and join in the conversation. Remember, you can always call us. All right. You can always call us 515-605-9850. Give us a call. All right, so this has been the Walter Henry Birthday and Anniversary Hour. Join us next Sunday, God willing. Same time, we'll meet again for the Walter Henry Birthday.
Ali, how you coming?
Listen, Grainer, I can do a number.
You can break them up.
Go ahead, Audrey.
Yeah, I'm done. Back to you.
Okay.
Do your number.
Forget
good evening, and welcome to The Cricket Show, broadcasting around the world every Sunday from 6 to 9 p.m. blogtalkradio.com/thecricketshow, or fast bowl us an email with your questions and comments to thecricketshow@comcast.net. And now, let's talk cricket, lovely cricket.
Yes, let's talk cricket, lovely cricket. And folks, why don't we turn our attention to the West Indies 48 Championship. And we have a couple matches that were played this week. Or three matches. Barbados winning over Trinidad. The Leewards went down to the Windwards. And of course, Guyana just trashed Jamaica. Who wants to go first? You want to open the batting, Ivor? Would you? Anything you want to say about those matches?
Which one of the matches? Which one?
All three. We just pick all three and just make your points and all three and we can.
No, from the West. You talk
about
the West Indies four-day
matches.
Oh, the four-day. Yes, of course, yes. I'm gonna congratulate West Indies again for bringing these matches back on board. You know, they were dried up. I know we're gonna say COVID as usual, but everything that didn't work for good was because of COVID. But nonetheless, they're on stream and we are seeing some good performances from the batters, young ones at that too, including I'm gonna call Kyron Powell young at 31. There's no way he can be turned old, especially with West Indies' performance. The captain, who I believe should have been today the captain of the West Indies team, he too is in on it, and he's not old. That's Leon Johnson. He's also amongst the ones. So I'm asking the selectors, Denman Haynes and everybody, to look at the whole thing. We're not in a position to discard players. So in that regard, I'm going to say look at the whole thing as a team and see who can fit in as a team. Got to see Chandler Paul came back, didn't sit around, got back into the flow of things, and in the second inning, showed what he can do. That's what we need. But what I can say, I'm just summarizing at the same time.
Yeah.
Some of these batsmen, they have to make big hundreds. The Bravos and the Powells and those guys who've been there before, and the Johnsons, they just can't make a century like Athanase. And what's the captain of the Windward Islands name there again?
Athanase is the Windward Islands.
Athanase, okay, right. Yeah. You see those guys who are now coming in making hundreds and nineties and stuff, that's accepted by the selectors. The Bravos and those guys have to dominate 200, 180 and those stuff to show. Listen here. I am here and I am in charge. It's just not ranking, oh, but he makes 102 and he makes 102. Half the time we don't know how scratchy they look making it. We don't know how they look. And by the way, Donald, these matches are on YouTube. I heard you say you just wait for the end of the day. If you go to the YouTube live and put in the teams, you get the match live. I thought I should have told you that before. I'm sorry. In terms of the Leeward, let me talk about that. When they declared the match, I thought it was hard fooling. You're playing in the Midway Lands away from home.
Exactly.
And they declared time after the young man there got out. I'm like, why are they thinking? It's so much time left in the match. You make as many runs in your first inning as possible.
That was
so I don't know who advised, and you know me, Hamilton, I'm going to turn it to the captain. Some people are going to turn to the coach. That was no time to go and think, get whatever 10 more runs, get whatever it is. Let them take your 20 wickets. Now you end up looking foolish with 19 wickets, and you lose a match. And nobody was ill because you declared an inning. And the second time around, I mean, Cornwall dropped two catches there. One was difficult to me, the one that that he jumped for. But the one that late in the day when he just stuck his left hand out. I don't know if you saw that, Liam.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
he was dark and he may not have seen it. But I've never heard fielders appealing for light and want to go off. Batsmen usually do that. And we from the old school, we would know that. And rather than they try to bowl out these guys in the dark, they are appealing, say they can't see. So I didn't understand that, Leon. I'm sure you looked at that.
I saw it.
I'm like, what in the world is going on with this? I've been like following the cricketer. You get people in the dark when you're bowling and let the batsman appear for light, even though we don't have that now. The umpires are the ones who call the show. So clearly, the Leeward Islands seem to be out of their depth. They don't appear for no light. The umpire offer the light. The umpire have the light meter, and they're determining the first thing if the light is good enough to play. And as an umpire, then it will tell you the first play out there in terms of light depends on the umpire. They're going to protect themselves even before the batsman. They want to be able to see and make their decisions in addition to protecting their own selves. So that's a first for me. Leeward Islands on the field of play, saying they can't see when they're bowling, trying to get batsmen out. I can come back again. Let me leave it.
Okay.
I don't want to take
what about you, Dennis?
All the points.
Yes, Leon. What I want to at least point out or underscore here is the fact that we have a young man, Athanase, who has been knocking on the door and is quite in my opinion, should be in the West Indies team, all three teams. He currently has scored more runs in the West Indies four-day championship than all comers, a total of 588 runs in eight innings for an average of 73. Tell me why he's not in the West Indies camp in all three formats. When it comes to the bowlers, we have Cornwall, again, leading wicket takers in the four-day matches this far. He has taken 25 wickets, although I can't give you the economy rate at this point. But the fact is, he has taken 25 wickets. And Guyana's Paul Permal, 22 wickets. And Trinidad and Tobago Charles has 18 wickets. Those are the top three wicket takers in the four-day championship so far. And I am strongly, strongly encouraging the West Indies selector to, you know, think, follow the recommendation of the recent Board of Inquiry, who recommends that all players be selected to play in all three formats so that they are prepared. And Athanase is definitely one that should be up there. And Cornwall, again, should be getting a look in. There is no doubt that we're not doing ourselves justice when we leave Joseph to have a rest day and we do not have a quality opening bowler that can take his place in terms of our team selection. So the West Indies need to find that other seedman that can work with Joseph to become a spearhead of the West Indies opening attack. And we are really treating ourselves disrespectfully and not using what talent we have limited as such. That's my comment on those four-day matches,
okay.
Leon.
Just one thing. I think Cornwall has 21 before he came in this match, and he took four and two.
Yes.
Two in the first and two in the sixth. 27. Yes, 27. There's a correction. But I agree 27? With you.
Huh? Yes,
six in this match. Yes, 21 before.
Okay.
Six. But nevertheless, I agree with you guys so far. You know, the declaration I felt was premature. I don't know what. And then, of course, I've seen batsmen, you know, you make runs in the first innings, then you had to have a target. You know, you're going to target yourself over 200, 225, 30 would have been a good target to set these folks. Everybody wants to go and hit over the top and that wicket that fell the night before the last day was really, really crucial. It was all Leeward Islands batters had got to carry on the 100, and the 50 should be turned into 100, and 100 should be going above 150. I don't think anybody in New Zealand side has scored 150 in the tournament, and they're up there in third place. The same thing goes for the other teams. Trinidad is really, really down. And Jamaica is really, really, really out of it. And Jamaica doesn't have so many players in the on tour. So I would think that they should have been doing better. The Standard, to me, it needs much to be desired in terms of the batting. And we also, like Dennison said, we need another pace attack. I don't see much guys going above the average speed, about 135. That's why Jason Holder can maintain his place. And you have Mayers and Reefer, you know, two big guns in a second change or third change. So
we have a young pace bowler in Trinidad. Oh, what is his prospect?
Sorry. Six. He's sick. Like sales, and there's another one. They are both injured. All right. So, Audley, your turn.
Look, honestly, I've been able to follow the whole thing, and just like I just heard the news whenever I gave Donna the information about YouTube, it's like I've been getting bits and pieces. When I watch RGR TVJ in the evening, sometime I'll pick up some school, but I haven't been following it really. One thing I see Jamaica against Guyana. They finished strongly on the third day, like they were about 170-something for two or three, looking for an improbable win. I don't even know how that match finished. But I would assume that, well, I heard Leon mention that, you know, they were really trashed badly by the Guyanese. And this has been the pattern for the season, even before the season. The Scorpions seem to have lost their sting, and that's a problem. But I'm hearing about the hundreds, but what we really need is some stiff competition. You have to make the runs against who you're facing. That's it. But again, we want the guys to continue to piling up the runs, as I was mentioned, not just satisfied with 100, make some big 100 or turn them into double 100. Right, that's the only way you're going to be able to kicking on the door of the selectors, let them know that you are there and you need to be getting some notice, right?
Don't you have a likely all rounder in our guy there in our spinner? Isn't he a likely all rounder because he made some runs? He took some wickets. Yeah, but I think we are ashamed of his size and so forth, and I think that might be something in not working for him, not working in his favor.
I would suggest
that he take some time, put himself together, and come back roaring.
But he's been doing that, and who says he's not? I don't know. Look, anybody watch the South African fast bowler. In the T20, that's a big guy, and he's running, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and but, he's not bowling spin.
No, he's bowling fast. And one other thing before we move, Magana, yeah, that's right, Magana. He has been taking.
Yeah, Magala.
Magala. Mm-hmm. No, Leon Johnson has announced his retirement. Anyone heard that too? I think this is his last series.
Yes, I heard that.
Yes, okay. So I don't think he's up for selection.
Ivan's going to be disappointed.
Yeah. He was a good captain, but he has called it a day. He's going to go into jewelry business. And Guyana, no, making hay while the sun shines. How about you, Dennis, who said your piece? Who else didn't say that piece? Everybody has said a piece on that. Can we turn our attention to the West Indies' defeat today and their win the day before? And just to bring the folks up to date, on the first T20, West Indies was asked to score 131 runs or 132 from the 11 overs. West Indies were able to knock it off in 10.3 overs, 132 for 7. And, of course, the...
That was a good win.
131 for 8. Good win. Good batting from Powell. Rothman Powell, that is. And he brought it home for us. But in the second encounter, which was played today, West Indies were asked to bat, and they made 258 for 5 from their 20 overs. And one would think, after having made 258 for 5 with Johnson Charles hitting a swashbuckling 118 from 46 deliveries, that was a super task with Mears coming in with 55, and then a 28 from Rothman Powell, and then a 41 from Romario Shepherd. They were able to pile up to 258 for 5, but that was not enough because some bowling averages. Parnell got 2 for 43 from 4. Mark Ram, the captain, he got none for 22 from 2. While Rabada, none for 39 from 4. And Mark Jensen, he was the pick of the bowlers. He got 3 for 52. And Magala, the guys that you like so much, none for 67 from 4. And Shamsi, he got none for 33 from 2. When the West Indies bowled, the Cox took a liking to our bowling, hit 144 deliveries with 9 fours and 8 sixes, followed by a wonderful 68 from Hendricks from 28 deliveries, 11.2 sixes, and another 38 down the order from Adrian Markram from 21 deliveries. They were able to overcome the score of 258 to score 259 for 4. A number of records, of course, we talked about our own guy who made 118, Johnson Charles, and he was playing a really splendid knock. Everything was coming off the middle of the bat. He was sweeping, he was pulling, he was driving, and they were. If anybody saw something that I thought I saw, I may be imagining that he was, that delivery got him out, or the no ball. In my view, I don't know if I was had a double vision, but I thought I saw that, but they didn't show it long at all. I don't know.
I'll try and pick that up. They're doing the rerun right now. I'm watching it, without sound.
But they hardly show it. I think it's one time. I was waiting for them to show it over again, but I don't know. I don't think they will do anything bad about it. But it was the highest run total for a long time, 517 runs in a match in 20 or in 40 overs. Then you have... What
it's not even 40 overs really, Leon, because it's 30.
Yeah, okay,
it's and
right.
5.
Yeah.
Because imagine hitting off 250 and then still having all of 7 balls to spare.
To spare,
yeah. Wow.
So anyone who wants to chime in, what was the... I find something very curious to know, because you have your frontline bowler. You went for 20 something in the first over. Why is it that you don't bowl him out? You have your frontline bowler and Joseph's not there. I would have bowled him to the draft. You're the frontline bowler. You're supposed to be able to bowl. Cuttrell, how many overs Cuttrell bowled?
One for 29. One for 29.
Well, okay. How much is he's allotted?
Into the 4. But in today's match I'm talking about, the 1 over for 39 runs.
I know. I know he bowled 1 over. But why you pick him 4 then? You're going to bowl him 1. If he gets, it's
okay.
Likely that he can, if he can't get a wicket, why you bowl your 39
okay.
for that?
Can I?
That's my view.
I'll jump in somebody I want to jump, because I need to ask a question before I make a comment.
Can anybody? I'm going to the first T20. Congratulations to West Indies in the 11th match that they won. But I'm going to ask the question. Anyone on this panel or outside, you can call in 515-605-9850 with an answer or in the question. Can anyone tell me, has Ralston Chase has ever been regarded as an excellent fielder in any format of cricket? Test, ODI, 2020.
Ralston Chase has not been a cricketer since 2 years ago.
Fielder. Has he been fielder? But I need to start there. Has he been regarded? Because we know Sir Vivian Richards was kept in the West Indies team in the first ODI in England because of his field cup, the World Cup. His fielding kept him there, especially when he went out the two Chapel Brothers. He had three runouts in that game. He was known for that, even though he failed with the bat. Ralston Chase, I want to ask that question again. Have he ever been regarded as an outstanding fielder, like a Walsh, a Keith Atherton? Has he ever? Okay. I'm getting a resounding no. Do you know Ralston Chase was in the first ODI, in the first 2020, in the 11 overs that they picked?
He didn't bowl.
Somebody
he didn't bat.
Look and see where
he came. He bat him in the last year.
Number nine.
Yes.
If I was Ralston Chase, I would chuck up my gears because they didn't contest, brought him back as a bowler, batting him down number eight, number nine. When he failed there, then they put him up in the order to bat, step out a little 50. Why does this guy just have to be in the team, even though it means nothing to the team from neither bowling, batting, nor fielding? Yes, we won, and people are going to cover it up with a win. Okay, they left him out of this one, and they would have picked Reefer. He didn't bat 20 overs, but he didn't get on and he got a bowl. So he can't bowl in test, even though he made the team way back as a bowler. We're here trying to win test matches. We take him, make Reefer to be our number three batsman. They put him in the 20-20 over, not the 50 overs now. And he can't be in the batting lineup. He's supposed to be our best batter, number three in test. He cannot make the team as a batsman. He comes on the bowl, he got the first wicket, yes, because, like you said, our number one strike bowler was carted for 29, never to see the ball again. So they toss a coin and say, Reefer, you come, because Reefer has not been bowling. So the selectors that are on site, something is wrong with them.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we have to start. So we won the match.
You pick that number.
And then they come and they pick a team. We only have 20 overs. Al-Zahri just only bowled 4 overs. And you tell me what they do. They rest him in this one because we won. He didn't bowl no 4 overs, sorry. He bowled 2 overs because he's only 2 overs allotted. And one bowler can bowl 3 in the 11 overs. So why did Al-Zahri did not play in this match today?
And he's the number one bowler. He's a strike bowler.
You're a strike bowler. You want to win a series. He only bowled 2 overs. And now all of a sudden you decide to rest him, and Leon made the point. Your number one bowler, yes, he was started for 29. He must come back and even bowl 2. He must come back because the batters who carted him along the park, they were gone. You must let the man redeem himself right in the same match. That's what you're picking for. But then he's going to like to hear this. The man who's supposed to really hold things down for us and be economical, Mr. Holder, he was found wanting. And if he's not batting, because he's not came in ahead of him, so Holder didn't bat, calling him now to bowl a couple of medals and a couple of slow balls, take the pace off Holder. You're the experienced guy there. Holder to me was a letdown today. I have to go along with to say.
Dennis, you have to go along with Dennis.
One, because you must take pace off the ball. He was already slow. And since we don't have the Bravo, and these guys are using the pace, make them use their own pace. So you can't go in and bowl as per normal, and you're normally tight, and you know they're chasing a big total. And let me end here. Congratulations to Johnson Charles. He would have broken Chris Gayle 45-100. He made it too much. Some 32, so that's a record.
35? 35,
isn't it? Yes. Right, so that's a record. That's going to be hard to break. I can tell you that now. And here it is. West Indies always allowing somebody, some team.
No, it's 39. Correction, 39 balls. 39 balls.
His 100 was in 39, or he faced 39 overall?
No, if he faced 40-something overall.
40.
Okay, right, so the 100
is
39. So, and Gale had it day before in 45.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying here now, here it is, the highest one here for victory. They allow that to happen. You mean not even, nobody could have just hold strain? Come on, no, man. They gave away the match somewhere along the line.
Yeah.
Something is wrong with that.
Something, Mr. McKenzie, you have anything to say?
Yes, I think sometimes you have to go with what the surface offers you, and some bowlers can extract a little bit more from that wicket than the other, and the captain has to be conversant with what is happening out there, and so he has to bring in his bowlers accordingly, because as I said before, the wicket might favor some bowler up against others,
and some bowlers
are very tactical in making use of certain wickets. So the captain has to be decisive and take action and use the best he has. That's my commentary.
Fair enough.
Okay, nobody's coming there. One more point.
Okay.
I said it before on this show here. I said, you see that same Puan? Puan even bowls. Puan can field. And I said it before. When Johnson Charles is in the team and you have a Puan in the team, I am putting Johnson Charles to keep and use my better fielder in the field, the more agile fielder. Why can't they see it how we are seeing it here? You need fielding. I don't believe 11 men should bat, and you always say it.
Yeah.
11 men. Mm. In the 2020 cricket, is
not in the 20 former.
Yeah, too many wickets down there with only. I mean, come on. So you need some strong fielders. And you block up one side and you say, let me put my best fielders over here. And I'm going to call again for Allen. Why is this guy playing?
Oh, yeah.
Even to feel, I would rather him come in, don't bat, don't bowl, or bat with chases, but I know his run's going to be in the field. He can save at least 10 points, which is big in ODIs, in 2020 cricket, when you can save.
Maybe he must be sick. I haven't seen him around at all. He might have been sick.
So why aren't we questioning the selectors then? Sometimes we go to hate and radio that they're interested in Hope, so they ask Hope a question there. So why aren't we hearing about Allen? These are guys who you want. We used to ask about a Russell. We asked about him. So they can see the value of this guy in his fielding. I mean, come on.
Even they took Walsh there and they don't bowl him. Look how they use, Australia use Zampa.
Exactly.
Out of the ring of things a few months ago, and Zampa is coming back and getting wickets.
That's a question I have for the panel. Again, call us, 515-605-9850. Why couldn't we have Walsh there, even for his fielding? Because somebody can pretend to be sick, him on the field, and he too can save 10 runs. Why
10 runs in the
can't
field
stop?
And take some
You have 15 in the squad, so you carry him as a specialist fielder in 2020 cricket. Walsh should have been there.
This team is the worst fielding team we have for a long time. Nobody
exactly. And I'm going to criticize the captain here. Even though I'd like to commit me to say this here now. You see, he said it in his last match. He needs to go in and have a feel before he can go watch a couple of balls push around. You don't have the time in 2023 to push around, especially when a platform has been set. We had the opening batsman there, what's his name there? Myers going great guns. City King left. But look at the number three batsman. Charles came and he put it on. Now Powell get a chance to come and start to poke around when a platform has been set. his batting let us down today. I mean, we have to call a spade a spade. He came and started to poke around till the commentators now start saying, whoa, three dots in a row. Three dots here. Oh, we have his dots in. He was supposed to carry on. That's what batsmen do. The first man steps. So I cannot blame our number poor and there for going because the platform has been set. 11 men not supposed to bat. So another person supposed to pick up from Johnson Charles and come in. That's what Pollard and Mumbai Indians came to. Pollard would only make 30 runs, but he makes 30 runs from 7 balls. You needed that today from Powell. Make 30 runs from 7 balls or 8 balls.
Yes.
You know what I think? You know what I think, Ivor? I think it's complacency. Looking at the scoreboard and the massive score, maybe they figure more or less, boy, look like we have...
But then he needs to be dropped because you don't have Alzawi Joseph in your team. You have a weak feeling team like Leon just said there. We all know that.
Why are you believing that
these guys playing at home? You're not playing on your turf that you know your turf, you know your areas. You're in their backyard. Leon hasn't made the same mistake. They're complacent with their runs, but going in somebody's backyard to think they can humiliate them. It doesn't work like that.
Because he left all of us befuddled. Why would Joseph be left out of the squad? It's not like the man bowled 20 odd overs in a day, the day before or 2 days before. He's gonna bowl a maximum of 4 overs, and you're gonna tell him that he's so tired.
No, and you're bowled
because the match before was an 11 over match. Right. So
how can you rest him?
And you're going to rest your strike bowler, and it's not like you're going to be in the field all day.
Exactly.
Something is wrong.
Oh, folks, that's part for a cause because Simon is mad with us. He said you have a tough question for us. Folks, Simon, come on in, my brother.
And a very good evening to you, Mr. President. And I'll also say good evening to Dennis, Cardinal, Audley, Donna, Mertris, Virgil, Mr. Patel, Jetno, Ivor, Mr. McKenzie.
Good evening to you too. Good evening.
And all our faithful listeners all over the world, have a wonderful, wonderful week next week. And we hope you had a wonderful week this week. I'm so happy to be on the show again with your talented men who know the game so well.
Don't want to keep you waiting. Go right ahead. You're waiting for a tough question. I got it.
Okay, I'll give an easy one tonight. I'll be very good to you tonight. Okay, we're talking about test cricket now. Could you tell me England's highest test scores in test cricket, the highest number for England in test cricket? And for bonus points, against which country?
Against the West Indies, for sure. I think his high score was 601 against the West Indies. I don't remember exactly when and where it was, the West Indies and India, but they really give us a crush in.
Okay, thank you so much, Mr. McKenzie.
I think that's 800 and 800 and something.
800 and something, okay. But I know Cowdrey and Close may have put in a partnership of 411, something like that. And then I would say 751 for 3.
Thank you so much, Mr. President. Thank you.
I'm just guessing.
The West Indies, the West Indies
no, that's
made
what
about
we're here for
790 something. They will make 800. England make 800 and something.
Okay.
England make 800.
No,
I don't remember 8 how much.
You said
England. Which country?
I'm just listen what I'm saying.
Yeah, give
I'm
us
just
your,
trying. I'm
looking
at the chart. I say, I remember where the West Indies did not make 800, but they make 790 something. So I say, and I know England make over 800, but I just don't remember how much.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Audley. Thank you.
So on what England? So Audley says 800 over 800. Okay. Against whom, Audley?
Against the West Indies.
Okay. I haven't heard Virgil. Is Virgil with us?
No, we tried to get him, but we can't. He's in Antigua.
Okay.
Go ahead. Ivor, your pick? 1,200 and something for 6?
What's the question?
The question is how...
What England high score in Test cricket?
It's Test score and for bonus point against which country?
Ooh, well, you have me there. I know back in the day they used to back off for 6 days until...
8 days.
Can I go back there? I'm going to just guess no. 708.
Okay, Muslim, thank you. Thank you very much.
I'm guessing. I have no idea. Again,
okay, that's okay. That's easier to learn from each other.
Dennis, come on.
Whatever the ladies want to have a crack at it.
No,
and
Dennis
against,
is there.
I'm going to say West Indies.
Ghana is also there. Dennis, come on in, Dennis. Dennis, Ghana? Okay,
I'm on the road, Leon, and a lot of road noise, so I'll just listen, okay?
Okay, fine, yes. Okay, Donna, what say you?
I have no idea what I will say.
But guess like all of us do.
Maybe, let's say 800 against West Indies, since most of you think it's West Indies.
Thank you so much. Thank you very much.
Come on. Come on.
Mr. McKenzie, what say you, sir?
I put in my squad, really. India against West Indies.
Yeah, Mr. McKenzie was the first.
Okay,
okay,
yeah.
Mr.
Yeah,
President, panel, do I want me to reveal the answer?
Yes, reveal the answer.
From my book here, from London, ICC London, my son sent me, England's highest test score in history, 903/7, against Australia at the Oval.
What?
Long before you were born, 1938. Before any of you were born.
Repeat that score, please.
903/7 against Australia.
Wow.
10 days, Mike.
I don't know how many days they were batting for, but they made 903/7 against Australia in 1938, long before any of us were born.
Leon, only when they played in Australia, they played timeless tests. They always played limited days in England.
Yeah.
Once they play. But I just looked up here and they say, when I asked what's England high score, and he say it's a 849.
Oh, he has 903 here against Australia.
I don't know. Let me go
make
back and look for the highest score.
First class.
In the meantime, Simon,
you're right. Eh?
Yeah, it's 903.
Yeah, he's right. He say England in
1938.
First class.
Yeah.
Yep.
No,
Hyacinth?
Yeah.
No, I didn't make it up. I read it from the book. My son sent me from London,
right,
ICC.
Yeah.
Did you say that,
right.
Hyacinth?
Yeah. 903.
903.
Wait a moment. We have to highlight this, Audley. Hyacinth is 903/7. Did you look it up in the book?
I cheated.
Okay. Well, if it's you're disqualified automatically.
Yeah, so that's England's second highest, because I know they made some 800. So 849 was against the West Indies in Kingston, 1930. So the 903/7 declared was against Australia at Oval, as I said. The highest we know is Sri Lanka against India, 952/6 declared.
I thank you.
Right, Mr. Simon.
No, I didn't make it up. I got it from the book from London.
I know you didn't. But just that sometimes when you look up, go on some of these things, they give you wrong information. Not you I'm talking. Because when I asked Google, what's the highest score? And it came up with 849.
Yeah.
So that's why I went to Quick Info, you know? So Quick Info give it a whole list.
I got you.
Simon,
we have to learn from each other.
Question for you. This is an incident that happened on live cricket this week. A ball ricocheted clearly off the pad of a batsman. The umpire called wide. The bowler went up to the umpire and said, that ball came off. I didn't hear him, but indication that...
Repeat the question, please. Repeat the question, please.
It's not a question. It's relating a story. It's a story. Listen.
I've given you a story. A ball was bowled by a bowler, namely XYZ. It came off the pad of the batsman. It went to the boundary. The umpire called wide. The bowler went
it
up.
It came off the bat?
Pad.
It
went to the boundary. The umpire called wide. The bowler went up to the umpire and said, that ball hit the pad. I didn't hear it, but from the interaction, he changed his, he called upstairs to the third umpire and then changed his decision
into leg bye.
Was that player within his right or could he be penalized? Did you agree with the batsman, the bowler?
Yes, I don't know whether it's wrong or not. I agree with him because that's going to go against my figures. If the ball clearly...
Yeah.
Right.
Ivor, anything in the rules says that he could be penalized for questioning the umpire? You can't refer that, can you?
No, he didn't think he... You can ask the umpire a question. That's why you have, how is that umpire? That's a question. So he can ask the umpire a question too. He didn't show no dissent. He just asked him.
He
said the ball came off the pad. And the umpire, in his wisdom, asked for help, and that's why you have it upstairs. But before he go upstairs, he could have asked the square leg umpire because the square leg is closer.
Mm-hmm.
And many times, without asking, the square leg would just touch his leg. You know, the umpire to show him. He came off the leg. That's why you... first signal in umpiring. So even though you made your first decision that is going to be four wides, and it's always call and signal wide. So you said call, Leon. So since the people are listening, we'll say the umpire would have called and signal wide. So we have
to
call the signal. So having said this decision, he'll go back and reverse it, cross his arms up at the shoulders, both arms,
mm-hmm.
And he can now go and signal four leg bites. Nobody
leg
did bites. Anything. Everything was corrected. People.
But suppose he had denied the appeal.
Then play would just continue.
Could the captain question that, make an objection to it?
No, once he would have made his final decision, you have to obey the umpire's command at all times. Once he made his final decision, it's not out. You cannot have excessive appeal. That is against the rules.
No.
Now you can stop down.
You can refer the matter. No, the captain now. The captain is in the picture now. The captain.
Doesn't matter.
No, the captain. The captain now, after he made his final decision, the captain is out of place now. It just takes one appeal, you know. So one.
No, but at the end of the match, I'm not talking about on the field now. At the end of the match.
Oh, well, no. Well, here's where it comes up now. The umpires on the panel will tell you now. That umpire is going to be marked and he's going to be appraised. And even without the mistake coming on the field, that has been looked at upstairs. And he gets his write-up. We don't see it, you don't hear it. But how do you think that some umpires get more matches than others? As much of all him go out there, know all the theory, you'll still find that some of the practical umpires are on the field of play. Look at Buckner, Steve Buckner, in what, 5 World Cups. I would bet to my last dollar that Steve Buckner would not have been the brightest man in the classroom in terms of the field and the law. But applying the law on the field of play, I sure they would have said, that man for me is the first man on the field, whether you call it slow death, he takes his time and makes his decision.
Yeah.
They were impressed with that. And decided, I'm going to take him. And the players respected that because they feel like Buckner is going to play it back in his head. He is going to do whatever it takes, however long, before the next ball is bowled, make his decision, and everybody was satisfied with it.
By the incident happened with Alzari Joseph. And Alzari was, some bowlers would have bowed ahead and gone back to the bowl. But he did it the right way. He didn't antagonized the umpire, and the umpire was forced to change his appeal.
Well, see, Al-Zawi is from the old school. Remember, Al-Zawi knows the rules. He was on the team when the guy got mankind when they won the Under-19 World Cup, you remember?
Yes, yes, the mankind, yes.
But yes, very fast bowler. They know the rules, so he applied the rule again. These little things is what selectors and management have to look at. When a guy knows the game, knows the rules, you want him on the field of play.
Mm-hmm. Simon, the other part of the question, not to puzzle you up now, a bowler bowls a full pitch. The umpire calls a wide. The ball takes on the helmet that is placed behind the wicketkeeper. And the helmet was made of metal, and the ball ricochet from the helmet and go over the ball full. What amount of runs can be credited to the batting
side? Okay, now explain it again to me. I didn't get you from the start.
A bowler,
yeah, Rick, explain
a ball
again.
High, wide, and he fell on the helmet, which is placed behind the wicketkeeper.
A bowler wide.
Yeah, well, a high full toss. He dropped on the helmet behind the wicketkeeper, which is
okay.
Played by the ceiling side. It ricocheted from the wicketkeeper, from the helmet, on out onto the boundary.
Yeah.
What amount of runs is scored? Credited to the batting side.
Did it? He went to the boundary, over the boundary, or it went on the ground to
the
boundary?
Hit the helmet, which is placed behind the wicketkeeper.
Right.
It was a call a wide, and it dropped and hit the helmet, and the helmet was made of metal, and it hit it, and it just go right over the boundary for six runs, as it were, if it were six.
But well, it wasn't six, it would be six
runs,
wide.
How many runs would you score for that?
Okay. So I would say it would be six. It would be six runs. To the score, but not to the batsman, to the score. It would be six added to the score, but nothing to the batsman.
So you call it six wide then?
Right, yes, yes, yes. Yes, I'll say six wide to the score.
Anybody has a different answer?
I would agree with that.
Arthur, you agree that?
I think it's seven.
Why you say seven?
Because it's a
wide,
and it goes to boundary.
No.
Yeah, just give the answer and discuss it, Liam. I think that's the best way to do.
No. Make some other people give their points.
No, because you're going to go on and on. I'm telling you, Liam.
No. Well, let the other say what I have to say.
The discussion is better, right? Take it from me, Liam. It's a good question.
Give us your answer, Ivan.
Leon, can I try?
Yes.
Can you hear me, Leon?
Yes, I can hear you. Don't get any accidents.
Okay. First of all, if it's a wide, one ball for the wide, five ball penalty runs for hitting the helmet, and if the ball crossed the line on the ground, then that becomes four whatever it is. So I would score five and four, nine runs.
Five and four, nine.
No, it's over the boundary, no, not just
over
down
the
to
boundary,
over the boundary.
Okay, six.
So
six,
six half,
eight,
that's 12.
It will.
Yes.
Get me to 12 for six. Welcome back, sir.
That's my answer. How about you, Ivor?
I'm asking, how do you get a wide with a full pitch? That's why I tell you, let's discuss it. Because how are you going to get the wide? Where did the wide
for
come
height,
in?
For height.
Height.
Yes.
Height.
But once you hit the helmet, there's five runs.
Yes, that's six. Plus,
so you don't get none for the wide? You don't get any for the wide?
Yes,
and the wide is. That's it. Time and answer to six. I'm giving six runs.
No. What about the...
Go ahead.
It is six runs. Play dead. That's it.
The penalty runs will count because it struck the helmet. That does not make the ball dead.
No.
Because the ball
the
continues
penalty
over the...
plus five and the six runs for over the boundary.
Yeah. Yes.
That's
how I score that.
That's how I score that. The penalty is 5. The wide is 6. And the fact that he went over the boundary and not along the ground.
But what I'm hearing, the fact that it hit the boundary and gets 5, that makes the ball dead. Is that the case, Ivor?
No, you hit the boundary.
It's a penalty for striking.
Oh, that's it. The penalty for, I know you had 5, yeah?
The penalty for striking the helmet. It does not make it a no ball, a dead ball.
I'm just inquiring. I'm inquiring.
I'm telling you, once it struck the helmet, it's a penalty for having the helmet there in the first place.
It's
supposed to be
that's
there.
That's 5.
So the ball is not dead until it crosses the boundary line. Or
if a player was here or from the wicketkeeper, to you know, like come off the wicketkeeper's thing, it would be the same. It would, you know, go for 6. It would count as a 6.
No. This question is not to trick anybody because it's something.
I'm asking because I want to know too.
I want to know too.
Right? Yeah. Because these things, sometimes we don't consider these scenarios. And just by discussing it now, we are enlightened and the position.
We are enlightened by the discussion.
And that's the purpose of this question.
I give me 6 extras.
6 extras.
So, Mr. Ivor, I want to come and tell us the right one now. Because
can I say what the book says, Ivor? And you're the umpire. You're the informed umpire. We are off.
You know, you always settle any arbitration. You are the man who come and settle it.
Yeah. Go ahead, Ivor. You want to come in with that? Okay.
I'm not hearing Ivor.
We're not hearing him. Okay. So, folks, let's go to India. Well, let's go to the women's finals in the WPI. Or PL, WPL. DC, Delhi Capitals, 131-9.
That's some culture.
Mumbai Indians, 124-4-4. And what was amazing that Haley Matthews, she was outstanding. And, you know, my mind just feels so badly for Jeandra Dutton, because she should be on show on this. I don't know if it's her fault, but I just have to applaud Haley Matthews because she got even a lower contract than one Jeandra Dutton got. And she didn't query, she go and do it, and today she end up getting 2 awards, and I'm happy for that. And she took the most, a number of catches, score a number of runs, and then also took 18 wickets. So congratulations to the young lady, and they bring some good money. So let's see. Anyone wants to comment today? The Mumbai Indians men, I think, if I'm not incorrect, the Mumbai Indians men won the first. The first IPL as well?
Yes, I believe they did.
Okay, a little noise on someone behind here. Could you be clear? Go ahead. So give me your take, Dennis, on the match.
All right. Mm-hmm. So batting first, the DC woman, What's the term they call DC?
Delhi Capital.
Delhi Capital. Right. Lenin started young. She made 35, but we have some ducks and some low score here. Pandya came down in the last one. I think the highlight for their innings really was the last wicket, that last wicket partnership. Because they were 79 for 9 when the ninth wicket fell. Well, as a matter of fact, 79 for 8 and then 79 for 9.
Mm-hmm.
And and there's some serious slugging, and not just slug either, they hit the ball well over the boundary and down the boundary by the two not out batters there. And they took the score to a very respectable 131, because at one stage I didn't think they were going to even cross the 100 line. But those two ladies with their never say die attitude took the score to a respectable 131, because in some cases they have some low scoring matches and that could even possibly turn out to be a winning score. Hayley Matthews, of course, she took three wickets for five runs, three wickets, two maidens,
yes.
Right? One was a beautiful ball, but the young lady played at the ball outside and like a forward defensive, and the ball went around the back and ricochet. You hear, you just look and this is the bees flying. It was almost like the ball that Shane won, not as big, but you know, it's a big turn and just crash into the stump. And starting off with the Delhi side now, because Matthews herself, she made 13, but she departs at an early bat here, who they only depended upon. She made only four. And Shriver, right, she came in and she had in the day before, she made like 80 runs or something like that in a playoff. And now this time she made 60 from 55, including 7 4. Hammond Creek Kerr, as a matter of fact, at one stage it seemed that both of them would just stay and just knock everything off. But then she got run out. Oh boy, it was a hard one, but she just had to walk off. But Amelia Kerr came in and stayed with her. And in the end, it went right down to the final over, because they won by just three with three extra balls to spare. So in a sense, it could have gone either way. Well, I think maybe I'm pushing it too far with that one, because they had seven wickets in hand. They had seven wickets in hand, and you know, when it comes to balls and runs, they were quite a bit more runs than ball. But then the fact that they had how much wickets in their hand, you know, it wasn't going to be too dangerous. But we know cricket, we can have 4 wickets fall consecutively, things like that happen. But it wasn't to be. In the end, they won easily, with, let's put it this way, with 3 balls to spare, winning for the first time.
I'm just going to welcome back Jason. He has informed me, Russ, he had a wonderful dinner.
Before
come on.
Let me apologize because I walk away from the phone. I thought we had settled the thing. I want to come back.
Yeah.
I already settled. Straighten up something. No, the question you asked,
yeah.
I thought we settled it. Simon answered it right at 6-1. Simon, and I agreed with him. I said 6.
That's what I thought. I figured it out to be 6 runs.
Well, let me hear from Jason before you go there.
But no. Let me finish. Let me tell you why it's 6. Leon.
Yes,
when
you want to hear why.
A healer's helmet, the ball becomes dead. That's it. You get 5 runs in addition to whatever have not put. That's it. So the ball going over the boundary or whatever, that has nothing. As soon as they hit that helmet there, it's a dead ball. If the batsman had crossed before he hit the helmet, you add that run too. If they didn't cross, they said they run, and they cross, you would add that run to whatever penalty before. But once that ball hits that field of helmet, the ball becomes dead. Simon was right. Of course. That's all it is.
Okay.
That's it.
That sounds good to me.
Now we know.
Okay. Justin, what's your take? Did you hear a question?
On what's the topic? I just joined.
The topic was a ball that was a wide ball for height. Hit the helmet. Hit the helmet, placed behind the wicketkeeper. It went over. It ricocheted from the helmet and over.
So that is 6 runs. Just go for the first thing first, the way it happened in sequence. The first thing is the wide. So you got the 1 run right there. If the ball hits the helmet behind the keeper or sitting on the ground for a short leg or silly point fielder or something, that's automatic 5 runs. That counts 6. same thing. If the ball did not hit the helmet and went for the boundary, then you should have 1+4 because that sounds real.
Yes.
So you need to simplify the process to understand how the extras they count. But always the first thing first. If it is a no ball or wide ball, there is a run. And then whatever happens is added to the beginning.
Okay, we have it settled now. So we hear now, Simon, different.
So there's a difference here. Because I just told us that once the ball hit the helmet, the ball became dead.
It's yes. dead.
Oh,
so,
no.
So how?
Not the batsman's helmet. No.
Mr. McKenzie, we'll have to do it. What? Because once it hit the helmet, you get the penalty 5. The ball becomes dead. So even
yes.
if the ball should go over the boundary, the ball's already dead. So the total that you get for that is 6, and not 12, as Mr. Mc, as Jason
yeah,
was
yeah.
saying. Jason was saying.
That is correct.
No.
That
Jason,
is correct.
Jason,
then once they hit the ball to helmet, it's over. After that, it doesn't
it's
matter
over.
Whether they run
then,
for the
okay,
extra
right,
eyes
right,
or something. Yeah.
Right,
Jason,
so it's clear.
The maximum you can get. So the maximum you can get on a wide or no ball, and if batsman has not played, and if the ball hits the helmet, you done. Maximum you got 6, no matter what.
Okay.
Right.
But
so that
clear.
Is 5 for
that's
the 5
clear.
Penalty and the 1 for the wide.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Right. When the question came, and I said, just discuss it. Anyway, that's over and done.
Okay.
All
but
right.
Jason, come on in now.
Yes.
What say you? Anything else?
Just enjoying. I'm on a trip, road trip right now, so I'm driving for
okay.
another
anything
3 hours
the,
heading
the
back home.
Anything about the women's finals?
Yeah,
today?
Well, I can put some of the thoughts on that women's final. The one of the theme most important. This game was more exciting than what we have seen in World Cups in the games mm-hmm. which was played in New Zealand, no doubt. That World Cup has some really good competitive games, which end up in like a last over decision, maybe single-digit run, defeat or win. So those are the good thing. But beyond that, what I see in a matter of just 2 years, and because of this all popularity of the IPL, we can say, these ladies put the show more than I expected, if I use the word, in terms of the skills, the way they perform on the field. And the biggest thing is their excitement and internal desire to do well. You can see every player out there did not limit the boundaries and capacities they carry. They put, I think, 120% to me in this game. And the best thing to see, looking at Mukmin Indian, they are always good at building teams, whether it's a man or woman. They always have a good chemistry off the field where they do a lot of things with the players and they all get united as a team before they come to the field. And that was the visible same formula from those 5 IPL championship teams they have put in place with this team. And because of that, you can see the players' excitement and the way they celebrate the wickets or the way they celebrate the victory or the way they have and work hard for it. It's hard to believe. The good thing about this is going to be changed and it will become more excitement for a woman's side. And I will not be surprised more people will be watching women cricket than the men cricket for a few reasons. Number one, if you look at these young talent in this particular IPL, they did their best. Their showcase is hard to believe, including this Ishi Wong from England. The way she is sprinting almost 30 yards and bowling this medium pace bowling, it's unbelievable. She claimed the first hat trick in that eliminator game, which is we call semi-final. And even today, she started and opened up the all doors for the Mumbai Indians. She took all first wickets, the good keepers and all. And on top of that, there is always fielding has the best thing to say. In any game, building does make difference, and that was the run-out. Landing run-out was the key. That lady from, I think, Aman Jodh, from the mid-wicket, crossed and hit it. It reminds me 1975 World Cup when you have Vivian Richards hitting those runouts, you know. So this, like, lot of things is happening. It had a lot of up and down, but they stayed calm, and then basically Mumbai Indians saw their class. It's not about the performance, talent, skills, technical part they have, but I think that team chemistry, we call the team cohesion, which is the binding, is the winner end of the day. And from this point, the way I look at it, this entire series and performance this year, I will say this Women IPL going to stay many years to come, and it's going to be bigger and bigger event following years.
Okay. Okay.
I agree with that.
Let's quickly look at the Australia-India encounter. India was given 269 to beat was set 269-270 to win the series. India fell short, and the Aussies now won the series, as a result of which they become the number one ODI side in the world. Your comment, what happened, what went wrong? Who wants to go first?
Well, this is typically happen. This is can happen. This series was tight enough. They were tied before they getting into the third ODI. And it's a day game is like always like that. It depends on who is good at those couple of hours. That is what the short version of the game is all about, excitement. And overall, I will say it was Australia's day. India still had a chance, but when you throw those wickets and make errors on a short judgment, those are the things you have to pay for it. So it was an exciting series, I will say, and now we have to wait and watch. I'm excited to see them again in June to see that World Cup, World Test Championship. These are the two same sides going to face again. And now they're playing in England, so it's a different platform. It's not
right.
About spinner. It's not about fast bowling. It's all about swing bowling. So I'm super excited to see that contest now.
Yes. And what is important when you look on the Aussie side, everyone made double figures except the captain, who made a duck. Steve Smith. But you had to give him credit for how the captain was saved. Any other comments, Ivan, you want to come in? Or would it be Aussie?
Leon, I have a question for Coach.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, Coach, can you give us your insight as to what or why the team in the Pakistani team in Bangladesh is performing so terribly?
I think they are in Afghanistan. They are not playing Bangladesh.
Afghanistan, yeah, it's Afghanistan.
My apologies, I meant
Afghanistan.
Okay, if you look at the roster, I'm not sure what's happening, but if you look at the roster, it looks like Pakistan changes, looks like a Team A. I don't see majority of them regular players. Right, the majority of the players, yeah. So they just got off from that own Premier League called a PSL, and because of that, I believe the board has given rest to most of the regular players and sent in the prospectus, the potential players for the future, let's say this way. And that's what it is. And this is like, if you have the ODI or T20, these are expected. Don't forget, same Pakistan team lost against the Ireland in West Indies when they were in 2007 at the World Cup. That was the biggest disappointment you can see. So I'm not surprised, and it is just one game, so we don't need to come out to the conclusion that the team is bad.
They beat them in the second game as well. They got beaten in the second game
goodness.
As well. Yes.
Yeah, so basically Afghanistan is going their regular team, and this Pakistan, I count as this is like a secondary team. Don't have too much power in it, and it can happen. It's like India and Pakistan both lost in Asia Cup. You know, so these are like a lot of up and down in Asian countries. They usually goes on the wickets and who is more familiar with the ground. That's how it is.
Okay. Any other comments? Anybody wants to comment on the Pakistan-Afghanistan? Then we have the New Zealand. New Zealand Sri Lanka. Sri Lanka bowled out for 76. After New Zealand put up a score 274 in the 49th over, in the 50th over. 76 in a 50 over match, folks. New Zealand versus Sri Lanka. They're in Sri Lanka. Any comments?
I've been following that one much. But just to go back to Afghanistan, Pakistan match, the one today.
Mm.
Pakistan made 130 for six in their 20 overs.
Mm.
Yes, and the top scorer was Ahmed Wasim. He was not out, 64 from 57. Shabib Khan, the captain, he was 32. He got run out for 32. And see the best of the bowlers. One or two wickets. One. It was just like spread out. But when Afghanistan went into bat, no, it was a nail biter because they had the wickets in that. They actually made 133 for three with one ball to go, one delivery. So Gurbaz made 44, and Zadran made 38. Najibullah was not out on 23. So Nabi, he was there on 14, not out. So it was a close one, but the record is going to show that they were beaten by Afghanistan in two consecutive T20 matches. I don't know if it's a five-match series or is a three-match series. If it's a three-match series, they would have already Afghanistan that it would have already won that series. So
yeah.
So Pakistan has something, have everything to play for. I mean, maybe they are already down.
Which match you're talking about now? The Pakistan,
Afghanistan. Well, it's a three match series.
It's a three match series.
They have it here now. Three match series. So Afghanistan won the series.
Afghanistan
won the series then.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
Okay.
And whether they pick a weak side or not, they won the series. So.
All I have to say, Pakistan, they must remember a guy by the name of Bal Woolman, 2007 World Cup.
When he died in West Indies?
Mysteriously.
In Jamaica.
Because they would have lost. They're losing to Afghanistan. Ireland, they over there getting battered by Ireland. I want them to remember there was a guy once by the name of Bob Woolman. Pakistan, he don't play.
And don't forget the same World Cup. India lost to Bangladesh, and they never reached the playoff.
Exactly. Just a little warning.
but Bangladesh has been giving India a hard time, battles, because even when Dhoni was the captain and they had the Asia Cup, and they reached the final. I think it took a last ball, six or something, for Downey to win for India.
Okay,
it was
finally,
against Bangladesh.
Gentlemen, finally, before we go. Dennis, you want to say something before
yes,
I go? I have a final thought.
Another question for Coach regarding the 2023 World Cup. There are there are reports in ESPN Crick Info that there are two outstanding items to be settled, and that has to be settled by the Indian government. One is a tax exemption. Maybe the coach can explain to us what the tax exemption is. And the other one is the question of clearance for the Pakistani contingency.
Both one will be that difficult to say. But I believe there is a process, and this is the government procedure. It's not a cricket-related or sports-related. they are doing for everyone. And that is what they have to go through. And I am expecting that it will be resolved. Pakistan has played in India a few times, and it will happen again. But it's how they do it. It depends on the process. But I will say it will not be a hurdle. In the past, I believe the two times Pakistan was allowed to play in a very similar situation. So it will go ahead.
Okay, any other questions? I just want to tell the folks today that I spoke with Mr. Shallow and extend our congratulations to him. And he has promised to be on our show as soon as he gets himself settled in. So that's good. I personally believe that he's going to be uniting the West Indies Cricket Board, and I would hope that one day he and Mr. Cameron can get together and they work something out, put him to do something, give him something to do, and let him feel happy, and we can all see a West Indies side off the field united. There's no time for this bickering and what's going on. I feel he was one of the few presidents that would go on the Mason show. And even though he's criticized, he still went back and never reneged. He's always, he made a comment but about Mr. Cameron, but that he would not vote for him. But that's past now. I think we should just come and unite the whole West Indies. We need that. We can't afford. We have, and just set a limit on the president. If he's 2 terms, let it be 2 terms. And let's move on. Get somebody else. But let's see if this can work. I think Barbados, I heard the Barbados, president of the Barbados Cricket Association says he is, whatever he's given to do, he will do. So that's a hurdle that he's been over the whole situation. So I hope they can unite and nobody has put up their hands to say they want to be president. So Mr. Shallow went in with 100% votes. Anyone want to comment?
Yes, I want to comment for a moment, because almost every week we discuss the weakness of West Indies cricket. I would love for us to spend some time off the show and see if we can put our finger on exactly what's going wrong with West Indies cricket. We win a match there, we lose our that down the road. We're not winning again. We are not respected around the world, to me, you know. So what is going on in West Indies cricket? And if we, as commentators and procrastinators of the game, prognosticators of the game, could sit back for a while, take a deep breath, and see if we can pinpoint what's going wrong in West Indies cricket. And it could all combine and come up with a 10-point system. And when we get the chance to talk with the president, we could put this before him. I said, this is what we think. After a while, where are we going and how can we get to where we want to go? Because right now, we are seeing the scriptures in doldrums. Men and women, everybody down there. And I think, and I hope that this year can be a turnaround for us, because nobody respects our place anymore.
Just one correction there. We are prognosticators, not procrastinators. We are procrastinators.
I understand. I'm sorry about that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We want a pair of cheerway fast bowler to accompany Azhari Joseph one. So go ahead. Who is
the
next?
Just short and brief. Let me congratulate the incoming president. It's a continuation, an elevation for him of sort, because he was vice president. He's been around for a while, so he's not short of experience. I want someone to take a look at the speech that Mr. Ricky Skerritt, the outgoing president, would have said, especially down to the almost when he finished his speech. He spoke about the insularity that is still investing this cricket. Mm-hmm. He addressed it, let me paraphrase now. Even inside in the board, inside there, the big island, small island thing is still going on. It is there. You all take a look, take a read.
Mm-hmm.
I hope we can address it in full.
In full, next
and
week,
with
because
the
I
president
have the speech.
So that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you have the speech there, if you saw it, Leon.
I saw the speech.
It is
I didn't read it. The print came out so small, I couldn't print it.
Okay,
so,
well,
but I
just
have
before,
it. Just
before his last paragraph, the
paragraph.
Moment,
mm-hmm.
he talked summarizing. You can just go straight to that. Forget the long part.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where Mr. Salok first is going to come from to address that. I do not know he's scary to be a liar. I've known him. I played cricket with him in St. Kitts, Nevis. And if he's in there, let me put it this way. If a fish come out of the sea and tell me shark, I am going to believe. That needs to be addressed. I don't think he's going out bitter. He's still left West Indies, as he said, better in terms of finance and a few commitments. Right. So with that, I'm going to wish Mr. Shallow and West Indies cricket all the best off the field of play, because we have to start there. And then if they can straight up a couple of things, find out why Billy Hayes did not contest. Let us hope it's not for some of the things that Mr. Skerritt would have addressed. And while I'm at it, Leon, I forgot the birthday. My niece, Angie, she had a birthday yesterday.
Could you imagine?
Yes.
Could you imagine?
No, today was
about
his birthday. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Huh? Yeah,
go
that's
ahead,
Barbara's niece. So, and she's
Barbara's
listening
niece?
Up. And
all
I,
right. So, what's
yeah,
the name?
I'll say DJ Sean is listening up there down in Florida. He wrote me say, he said, I'm locked in book. So, you've been heard worldwide, Leon.
DJ Sean, right?
And
let's play one at the
I
end
see
of
where
the
you've been threatened up there
we
with thunderstorm, bro.
We play one at the end of the show for you. For the young man. Okay, just before we go, please play one for him. Anyone else want to go in, chime in, and give us their thoughts on Mr. Shallow's appointment and their wishes, or I on behalf of the show?
Well, I'll go, Leon.
Yes, go right ahead.
Yeah. I just want to take the time out, this special time, to say, look, we congratulate Mr. Shallow. He went in unopposed, and look, he's going to show his mettle. We have had him on the show before, and the conversation went well, of course. And now that he's at the helm himself, then because it doesn't matter if you are the vice president of any corporation or a country or whatever, you are the vice, and you're in trouble if you try to overrule the actual president. So now that he's holding the reins, I think we might see some things a little different, and as the outgoing president pointed some things out, and those I think he'll continue to work on and so forth. So I just want to give him big time congratulations, and we are 100% behind him. Not him behind, but beside, because behind thing, you have to walk side by side. So we're walking beside him in all his endeavor, and let's hope that West Indies. We know as I always like to say, and with his shoe, when the side is winning, we used to win, beat everybody. Nobody know who was the president of West Indies Cricket Board or whatever. But now that the side is losing, everybody want to beat up on the president and so forth. So I just wish him well.
Is that where the box stops?
Yeah, go ahead. Mr. McKenzie, give us your thoughts on the new president. What do you wish of? You did say something about him already, didn't you? How about you, Jason? Jason, how do you? You want to say a word or two to Mr. Shallow? He may hear us. I think he listens to us sometimes. Jason, you're on live. How about you? Dennis has left us. He's dropped.
Yeah, not much. Again, I can say congratulations to Dr. Salo and Basarat. And this is the good beginning. We can see the change is coming because these are the experienced administrators. And all we have to do in West Indies is not to bring some new ideas or new things. Let's fix just existing problems, as many as if you can. And if you do that, we are well on track. And the first priority should be the June. If the West Indies does not qualify in a World Cup as an 18th, then we have to go for the qualifier, which is one way. It's a good opportunity to build the team and bring the right people into the team, because West Indies still has to look for the coaching staff and a lot of other things. And as I said in past, there are too many problems, not just one problem. So it will take a while to fix it. But looks like this is the promising administration and expected to bring some real good action where the people can enjoy the cricket in West Indies.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Simon, your thoughts, Simon. You tell us. What happened?
Yeah, well, I look at it this way. We have to understand that no team could be on top all the time. You know, there's going to be changes. Another team is going to come up from the bottom. And West Indies been on the top for 14 years, unbeaten. It's not realistic to think we could be on top all the time. I can figure that cannot happen. Other teams are going to come and beat us. We are going to beat other teams. That's the name of the game, you know. So I'm hoping that they'll do much, much better than they're doing. And with the new president and everything, hope that they shine a little bit and make us proud of them like we did for 14 years unbeaten. That's the West Indies I like to remember.
Okay. Anyone else? Simon, you learned something. You and I learned something tonight about the helmet. If a ball hits the helmet, he comes dead.
Yes.
So remember that.
Yes.
You learned something here tonight.
Right.
Okay. Anybody else?
I mean, on this show, I learned quite a lot in this show because you talented men and ladies as well. You know the game so well. I'm happy to be on the show with you because I learn something new every night.
Okay. Your final thoughts, Simon?
Yes,
let's start with the ladies first. Ladies
like
first, let's start with Donna.
I'm on here to learn from you men and ladies who know the game so well and love the game so well. Say every night, my little granddaughter, she was about 5 or 6, said, "Papi, only game you know is cricket." Well, that's the only game I know. So
thank you,
I'm happy to be on the show and learning from you about the game. There's so much I didn't know about the game that I learned coming on the show. And this is a very, very good show to be on and listen to all you men who know the game so well. And we can impart, we can teach each other, we can learn from each other. That's the beauty of this show. And I want everyone to have a wonderful week this week and be safe. And we'll be back here next week, Sunday, on the cricket show. Everyone be safe. And as Mr. McKenzie likes to say, stay in your crease. And we'll be here from you next week, Sunday. Have a wonderful week, all.
Thank you, Simon, for your participation.
Thank you.
Gave us some great insight. Donna, and you can bring in Mercedes one time too.
Okay, so I also would like to congratulate the incoming president. And my thing to him is, when West Indies was winning, there were Leeward Islanders in it. And now that he's there, I want Leeward Islands to be in that team. And that's when they'll see progress. So it was a good show. Have a good week, everyone.
Yes,
see you
indeed.
On the radio next week.
Indeed. And
have a good night.
Yeah, good night. And thanks for your participation. If you have Donna, not Donna, but Mercedes, you can ask her to come in too one time. Mercedes? I saw Mercedes drop, but I couldn't bring her back in.
Hi.
Yes, your final thoughts?
Goodbye.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we are hearing you.
Yeah, we can.
Yes,
we are hearing you.
Okay. Well, great show. I dropped off when I
missed out a few minutes, but it was great. And good night to everyone. Have
good night.
Mm-hmm. Good night, my dear.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for your participation. You could have gone to bed, but you determined and you came back and sneak in behind. Mr. Who's it now? Simon, you're gone. Hyacinth, come on in, Hyacinth, all the way. It's past your bedtime, right?
It's
time
okay.
Again in England.
It is now 1:50.
Wow.
So bad. So your final thoughts and give us on a scale.
I just want to say thank you to all the panelists and everyone who was on the show tonight. You know, I want to thank you for your insights and your sort of knowledgeable information. I've written so many notes, I've just got to decipher what I wrote. So I just want to say thank you very much. And, you know, it's always a joy and a pleasure just to listen and to, you know, to take in as much as I can. Yeah, it's very nice.
That's
thank
so,
you.
That's so nice of you. You make us feel happy. You have,
yeah,
you
honestly,
have
you doing you're doing a wonderful job. I'm scribbling away, and I thought, how can they remember all these things? It's wonderful.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, too.
And I'm also glad
company.
For the YouTube, because I'm trying to watch the sports channel here, and you only get, like, the proper cricket.
Yeah, okay.
If you know what I mean, when we've got sports, you know, the different sports channels, you don't get like the West Indies, you know, the leeward, windward sort of type. So I shall go to YouTube now also.
Yes.
I'm taking
and,
notes down.
Mm-hmm.
YouTube, yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes. So yes. I'm doing
that. But what
and
do you look for? You when you go to YouTube.
Info.
Let us finish now. Let us finish.
I heard, like you said, someone said quick info, so I wrote that down. I wrote YouTube, so then I shall go and decipher all by little scribbles, and try to get more knowledgeable.
Yes, indeed. We are grateful for you too, because you could have gone to bed, you could have gone into some way else, and we are grateful for you. And we will try to bring you every week.
I call this my relaxing time.
All right. You see? What
you know, because I'm
always
I'm so
glad
busy.
We caught up on you.
I'm always so busy that it's nice to just relax and listen to something else.
And thank you again. And give my regards to everyone and your cousin.
Likewise.
He's still hanging in there. Your cousin Goblin is still hanging
okay.
There.
And I'm going to ask you for the name of that cousin who write this song, Go Light Your Candle. Because I like that song.
She is Phil Knight, your father... Your uncle's granddaughter.
Okay.
Uncle Archie's granddaughter.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, whose daughter is she then?
Yeah, man, we can finish this. Then we can do this off here.
Okay.
Oh,
No.
Let me finish.
I'll WhatsApp you.
I'll get to you. Thank you so much. I'll get you off
okay.
here.
Have a blessed evening, everyone, and a wonderful week.
Thank
you.
You
too.
So
you too.
Okay.
You
bye.
Too. Okay.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You. Bye.
Thank you so much. Time is running.
You're welcome.
I want
bye.
To the birthday thing for
bye.
The gentleman as well. So about you, Ivor, your final thoughts?
Yes, indeed. The YouTube channel, once you go to the YouTube, you can put in whatever teams are playing early.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
he was
oh,
saying.
Oh. Because I wanted her to hear too. I wanted her to hear too. That's why
I
do try
right.
to break
you.
Yeah, I'll put it down.
I'll give it to you.
Once you go to YouTube, you're putting whatever team is. Guyana versus Windward, Leeward versus Leeward, and then that match will come. You'll have either first day, second, third day. They're still on there. So if it's the third day, you put it
definitely.
What have you, and you get all the matches.
Okay.
Yes, it was a pleasure being here, of course. I hope I made a worthwhile contribution, and I hope that, I leave that for... What
Dennis?
Dennis is not on, so why don't you do it?
You
right
better
now.
Do
That's
it.
Saturday, guys, I'm gonna have to fool somebody on Saturday. It is April Fool, so I'm giving you good warning up front. It is all Fool's Day, but we're having the entertainment show on Saturday, and that's gonna be on the Caribbean Global Voices.
and the number there will be 963-999-3693, 563-999-3693, 9 o'clock. Be there, be square. You're going to hear the birthdays and anniversary and all the good stuff. April, you might even have all the birthday coming up on April 1st. All right, good show.
Okay.
Leon, good question when you came with that wide there. And, of course, Simon always comes with a good one.
Yes, indeed.
Make it a
thank
good week,
so,
everybody.
So we have everybody, Simon. We have Audley. We have
no, you don't have me yet. You don't
okay,
have me
go
yet.
Ahead, Audley.
Okay, just a match that was being played. A match
no,
that was
no,
being
Audley,
played
Audley,
in Trinidad.
Audley, do me a favor. Leave that off and go right to your thing because we don't have the time. You got to be playing this birthday song in the before it goes off.
All right. Okay, just let me give you the thought for the day. Would you join us next week? But be not afraid of growing slowly. Just be afraid of standing still, according to our Chinese proverbs. Talk to you next
week.
Thank
you so much, Audley. Thank you so much. From me to you, that's the song we're going to dedicate to Ivor's nephew. Am I correct in saying that? Deshaun? That's it? Ivor?
DJ Sean is listening up. Yes, over there in Orlando.
He's listening. And this is coming from the Beatles, From Me to You.
Entertainment show is
Such
on Saturday morning at
yes.
Love Talk Radio, Caribbean Global Voices. So, I think Ivor can give them the call number. I'm
yes.
Out of time.
He did it already, but it's
all
nice
right.
To hear you.
All
you're,
right.
You're turning it.
Thank
so,
you.
Again, a little piece of that song. Good night, all. Good night, all.
Night.
Good night, all.
You said something,
I'm saying the song is for Angela Perkins. DJ Sean is a man, and my niece is a woman. So I'll ask for you to dedicate it to Angela Perkins.
Angela Perkins. Okay.
I got arms that long to hold you and keep you by my side. I got lips that long to kiss you and keep you satisfied. If there's anything I can do, just call on me and I'll send it along.
we come to the end of another good show. Thanks for all the help that you guys have given us. Good night. God bless you next week. Saturday morning.